How does a game like this get on your radar, Bobby?
I like solitaire, man. Like that's
yeah. But were you searching solitaire?
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
Both my eyeballs burn. I don't know what happened today. I put on my contacts, and there was rocks in my contacts when I put them on, and then I'm too lazy to take them off and clean them. So here we go. It's a small hill I have to get over.
Gotta scratch cornea.
I am.
All right. So last week was our Game of the Year episode. This week we're back to the usual format, and we've got some exciting news. 2021, we're bringing back On the Radar. Yep. Highly requested. We're doing it. So On the Radar, this is the section where we talk about games that we haven't played, but that we want to play, both old and new games. So let's get into it.
We played it for, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Wow, this is a 20-minute review?
Yeah.
All right. So the first game that I want to bring up is called Six Seasons and a Game. Now, this is a little niche here. Six Seasons and a Movie was a hashtag that was used by Dan Harmon when he was talking about his show Community. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of Community.
Sam watches it a lot.
Okay. Really popular show. It got canceled, and then it got brought back on like Yahoo or something, and they sponsored another season or two. So they did eventually have six seasons, but they never had the movie. Love this show. One of my favorite shows. Actually rewatched it maybe about a year ago. And Six Seasons and a Game is actually a community-made game, no pun intended, that is free to play. And it's a VR game, but I don't think you need VR. And it looks like it's reenacting the paintball. Well, the paintball episode, they did that, I think, two, maybe three times. Very famous episode. But basically, you're playing paintball around the community college. Yeah, Green Valley, Green Hill. I can't remember the name of the college. I mean, it's kind of cool because it's got the set, you know, it's got the room that they're always in. They do so many shots there. And like, if you're a real big fan of the show, like I am, this looks really cool, but I'm not sure what it really offers beyond that. Like, I don't think there's going to be anything that special about this. You do get to play as the community characters. Like you can choose Abed, Troy, Jeff, whoever you want, maybe even, I don't see in the trailer, I don't see Pierce, which is the character played by Chevy Chase.
That is cool, though. What good fanfare.
Yeah, yeah. And it's free to play, too. They're giving it away for free. And the reviews are fairly good. Like, they're not terrible.
Well, I imagine it's, like, super fans that are, This is so niche, right? So, like, yeah, anybody who likes the show and knows about this, downloads it, like, oh, it's cool to run around the college campus.
Yeah, I can't imagine this going on for too long, though. There's only 60 people playing right now. All-time peak was 120. So, yeah, it's not going to be like a huge big game.
Is it relatively new?
No.
The game itself, yeah, it was, let's see, what was the release date? January 9th, 2021.
This is where Childish Gambino got his start, too. What's his name?
I almost said his name.
Yeah, Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald Glover, is that it?
Fucking.
Not Danny Glover, but
it is. Yeah, it's Donald Glover. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Donald Glover.
Yeah, not related to Danny Glover.
But. Yeah, I was going to say Troy, but that's his name in the game. But yeah, he got, this actually really catapulted him into the superstardom, into his Lando Calrissian role. The first time I ever saw Donald Glover was on YouTube in like 2008 or something, like way back in the day. He was part of this comedy troupe in New York, and they would put these funny videos on YouTube before YouTube was YouTube. Mm-hmm. Also part of that troupe was Bobby Moynihan, who spent years on SNL, and he pops up in a lot of other things now. But it was kind of weird to see them there, and then later they become so big. Kind of like when I watched those Cosby, like even before YouTube, I think E-Bomb's World, I watched that The House of Cosbys. It's still around. It's got a cease and desist from from Bill Cosby, but you could probably still find it. The House of Cosbys, and that was like Andy Samberg on that before he became Andy Samberg. Mm. Anyway, yeah, so six seasons and a game.
I think that's just going to happen more and more now. Like, a lot of famous people that or actors and stuff, they do early stuff and put it on YouTube, especially these new generations, right? So all these young people, they probably have, like, DIY movies somewhere mm-hmm. online.
Yeah, yeah, that's we've seen that a lot. I mean, like, yeah. Bo Burnham and Awkwafina, you mm. know, had really big on YouTube before they went mainstream.
Yeah.
A lot of stand-ups are doing that right now. They're putting their whole specials on YouTube, hoping that Netflix will pick up their next special.
Mm. All right. The next game I want to talk about is called Nerts Online. Nerts, N-E-R-T-S.
Nerds.
I have no idea why it's called this. Maybe it stands for something. No. Okay, so the game is solitaire. Oh, this is kind of hilarious. Here's the whole thing. This is multiplayer solitaire. Solitaire is almost like synonymous with single player, right? So they've made solitaire multiplayer. Basically, all it is you play with your friends at the same time, and I think there's ways you can interact with each other, but it doesn't seem to really affect the gameplay. It's more like distractions and stuff.
Right.
It's kind of a cool concept, and it's free to play, so this could be something that you could do for a laugh with your friends, you know, if you've got a bunch of people online and you're looking for something you can all do together, up to six people. Here's the issue with Nerds Online.
That it's fucking solitaire, dude.
Solitaire's actually pretty fun, man. This is like the original Candy Crush solitaire, man. Like Microsoft Solitaire and Minesweeper. Like, yeah, dude. Everyone likes to play a little solitaire now and then.
You play genital jousting for a gas. You don't, not this one.
But here's the big problem with Nerds Online. It is only. It doesn't have a lobby system, so you can't go on there and group up with just random people or something. You have to like invite people from Steam. So if you don't have the people already, then, you know, you're kind of screwed. Hmm. And I don't know. That's just, it seems like that's a real, that really cripples a game.
How does a game like this get on your radar, Bobby?
I like solitaire, man. Like that's.
Yeah, but were you searching solitaire?
No, I don't know. I get a lot of weird recommendations.
Oh.
Yeah.
I played, I was really into this game called Pyramids for a while. It's like a take on Solitaire. It was on Yahoo Games. And I've always tried, like every once in a while, like every couple of years, I'll try to find something similar. And there's a lot of pyramid games, but I feel like Yahoo Games really nailed it back in.
They had a lot of good stuff on Yahoo Games.
They did. And you know what's funny? I recommended it to somebody recently. Somebody's like, oh, the guy that I hired, he just got out from doing 19 years inside. And, he said he's crazy good at chess. I was like, dude, Yahoo Games, man, there's a lot of killers on Yahoo Games for chess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad would go on there and play backgammon because you can't really find a lot of people to play backgammon with you.
I've never played in my whole life, dude. I don't understand
It's not that hard. But my dad, it's his favorite game. He loves it. He plays it all the time, and he's gotten really good at it. And he doesn't, well, I don't know. This was a long time ago, like maybe 10 years ago. But he'd start to go into Yahoo Games and play, and he thought, oh, this is great. I can finally find people. Because nobody in the family will play with him because you just get beat. And
that's fucked up.
And then he goes on there, and, you know, it's the internet. So people just, like, they start losing, and they just leave.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, and he didn't really quite understand. He's like, yeah. My dad is just like, and the fella just leaves. And he doesn't say anything. It's just like, yeah, dad, it's the internet. People are, you're lucky that's all he did.
So right there, you should have had a chart and like a PowerPoint presentation about rage quitters and how they affect the internet. That's mm-hmm. basically what he's dealing with, right? Rage quitters.
Yeah. People just, yeah.
Imagine how petty you have to be to fucking rage quit during
backgammon.
The 72-year-old guy's kicking my ass.
Bobby,
fuck, I'm going to go play COD.
For Christmas next year, you should get really good at backgammon and fucking give him a challenging match
mm-hmm.
in person. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Maybe like teach him. Gift experiences, dude.
Yeah. Or teach him how to play Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
All right. Next game, and this one looks really cool, man. This game is called Omori. Omori. You got to spell it out because it's kind of a weird name.
K Can't be better than Nerds, dude.
Yeah, Nerds is pretty weird. But Omari, man, I don't even know how to describe this game. It looks like an RPG, and it really reminds me of this RPG on Nintendo. I think it was called Earthbound.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and what was interesting about Earthbound, it was an RPG set in modern day. Right. So you're just like some little kid walking around modern day. And I had never really seen anything like that. But this kind of reminds me of that. It also looks a lot like, you know, games like Undertale or, you know, maybe even Chrono Trigger. It's like an RPG. It's got an older style of graphics. The reviews are overwhelmingly positive. And if you scroll through the reviews, like, people are saying the same thing, man. They're just like, the effort put into this game, like, is just phenomenal. Like, these people have just fine-tuned every little thing and made such an incredible game here. Some people have over 100 hours, over 2,000 people playing this game right now. When did it come out? Can you scroll up there? Let's see when this released. December 25th, 2020. So Christmas. So it's been out a little less than a month.
This is kind of reminding me of like a To the Moon. Is that the one that made everybody cry?
Yeah, that was a walking simulator though. This actually has combat in it. It's got like the turn-based combat, I believe. Although what's really weird, you usually have your team on one side, the enemy on the other side. Right. This one has like your portraits, kind of like how we do when we have four people on the show. There's one of us in each corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got health bars and whatever bars. Yeah, I don't know. It looks really cool, man. And I like those Earthbound and Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III. I still go back and play those games, either on emulators or whatever like version. Like, I have Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III on Steam. I really enjoy these games.
This looks legit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were to look at it without the reviews, I wouldn't look at it if it didn't have the reviews that it had. Because just because somebody spent so much time on it doesn't mean it's good. But if everybody's saying that it's good, and obviously it had playing an homage to these other games that you're mentioning.
Yeah. Now, it is $20. I mean, that seems like a lot when you look at the graphics of this game, but I think it's in the gameplay. The value is in the gameplay.
This always surprises me when Bobby brings up games that either like are in an anime art style or have to do with anime. Like, this is so surprising, even though Bobby doesn't really watch anime.
Yeah, I'm not like anti-anime. And I don't know, this the art style almost, like, the characters look like the animation from those games like It'll Do, and there was a card game, Card City Nights. I don't know. There's one company. They make like a couple of these games, and they have a very specific art style. It's very cartoony. I don't know. Kind of reminds me of that.
For this one, it's definitely going to be the storytelling and maybe the combat
thing. Yeah.
That makes it good.
Yeah. I don't know. $20, that'll go on the wish list, but I'll keep my eye on that one. That looks very cool. Omari. All right. And this is the last one I wanted to bring up. This next game is called Rattropolis. First of all, love the name. Rattropolis sounds great. And this game, I looked at it and I'm like, you know what? This looks like that game I really wanted to get into, but just couldn't. Kingdom New Lands. It looks like that game, but maybe a little more complex. Like, there looks like there's a little more going on here. And I was pretty disappointed with Kingdom New Lands. Like, I thought it was a great idea and there's so much more you could do with it. It was that one where it was it was like a tower defense, but it was 2D. It was like a tower defense city builder, but it was two dimensional. And enemies came at you from the right or from the left.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
you go out
and
you explore.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a great idea.
Oh, you're like a king on a horse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You get on the horse. But this one puts in a lot of other elements as well. So it's a city builder. It's a tower defense. There's a card combat or a card system to it as well.
It looks cute.
Yeah.
Dude, I love the art. Love it.
Yeah, the art's great.
You're like cute little mice going up against like zombie rats.
Cats.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were cats.
No, well, it is called Rattropolis. So yeah. I don't know. This game, it came out about a month ago, December 22nd, and it is only it's on sale right now, I believe, for $17.99. Or no, maybe that's its normal price, $17.99. Yeah.
It's very positive with how many reviews? I can't see. My contacts have rocks in them.
Yeah, it's very small.
3,012.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
Dude, that is cool. I loved it. I love the look of it.
Yeah, everything about it looks great. And I feel like, in a way, this whole card system thing is really getting into a lot of games. A lot of games are starting to use the whole card system.
I think people inherently just understand cards. Mm-hmm. It's easier than putting things on cards for some reason, then you don't need as much as a tutorial because people just know, oh, there's three. I choose this one. You don't even have to. All it has to say is choose one. It doesn't. You don't have to be like, at this point, you have a choice of three different attributes, and it could be this one. No. Boom. Three cards. Pick one. Like, done.
Yeah. Well, that and also, like, when you have a card system like that, that immediately puts in a feeling of randomness. You know, it's like gambling.
Yeah.
So it is kind of exciting because you don't know what you're going to get. And then you see your hand, you're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, and then you get to add the strategy. Which one do I play? So I don't know. I feel like cards just work on a very basic level with gaming.
And rarity too. Like, you mm-hmm. know, oh, I got an ace in poker, but then in this game, I got a blue rarity. Oh, this has got to be better than this other one. Fuck yeah. You know,
yeah.
You get that joker or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Retropolis. No,
it sounds great. Like, I can see the appeal of, like, unpacking cards, like, if that's a thing. And then, like, not only that, but, like, drawing it in a game definitely attracts people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who put The Last of Us Part 2?
I did. Because Muchacho Major Muchacho, if you remember him, he mm-hmm. was... He took the single greatest picture in PC history. He heard that I was complaining about not playing this game. He's going to send me a PS4 with the game loaded on there, dude. How fucking nice is that? I mean, it's not... It's just mine until November, so I have November to beat it. No, that shouldn't be any problem, especially since it's going to be upstairs in my room, and that's where, you know...
Oh yeah,
I spend most of my time. So, and if it's really good, you know, Sam's going to get into watching it, which I've heard. So this is win-wins all around. And then, so I guess he's pretty tech savvy. So he buys broken consoles, fix them, and then resells them generally.
Mm, okay.
And this one he was going to give to his nephew. I was like, no, go ahead. Just give it to your nephew, dude. Like, I don't want to take it out of a young boy's hands, you know? And he's like, he's like, I talked to his dad, and his dad doesn't want me to give it to him till November on his birthday. So it's just sitting here. And I was like, fuck yeah, send it over.
Nice.
So, yeah, good shit.
Nice. Now, you've got to make sure you get it back by November or you're going to ruin someone's birthday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the trick here. That'll be
shout out though. To Muchacho Major in the chat. He's like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, he's there.
He's right there. Nice, man.
What's up, dude?
That's awesome. Cause there's the picture.
Dude.
Great.
So, Nick, I don't know if you were around when this happened. So, we did a photo contest where you had to take a picture with your rig, or it just had to be PC gaming related, something like that. Anyway, we were like, what is going on here? So, first of all, he's got the hair, right? He looks like the UFO guy from Ancient Aliens. there's the cat. But then if you start to look deeper, dude, more is going on. But everything that's going on is by accident. So we couldn't figure out if Mario was in the case or outside the case. That's just a reflection. Then there's another cat, I think, somewhere in the shot. There's
he's like, moving, yeah, in the bottom right.
Yeah, in the bottom right.
Towards the camera.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It just all came together to perfect magic, man.
Looks great.
This was a really good contest. I don't know. Would you be interested in doing a contest like this again sometime this year?
I'd be down.
Yeah, maybe. Although the Mario was not a reflection, so we found out about that. There's a Mario statue inside the case actually supporting the graphics card.
Oh.
Because the graphics card is
sliding. That's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Genius. Nice. Yeah, man. That's really cool because... As PC gamers, you rarely get an opportunity. You just straight up miss out on a lot of games, and you really don't get an opportunity to play games like The Last of Us Part 2 or, you know, some of these big titles or big releases. You can go over to a friend's house and, like, they have it, but it's not like you're going to sit there and play the whole game at their house, right?
Yeah.
So that is very cool.
He's still rocking the CPU cooler that he won from the contest. He says... He keeps his 3900 at 45 degrees to this day. So So good shit.
That's very amazing.
Cool. Yep.
All right. Loop Hero.
This is a weird game. As soon as I looked at it, I was like, I don't like the looks of this game. I don't like the graphics. But John sent it over, like JP Diddy, he sent it over and he's like, hey, you got to check this out. So, after being turned off by the graphics, I went and looked at the developer's, video or not, maybe not developer, somebody who got an early. So anyway, he starts playing it for about 14 minutes and his friends are watching him play and they're kind of doing a podcast as they play. I really liked the format of what they did. I was going to send it to you guys so you guys have an idea of, the way they did this, because I thought it was cool. I thought maybe it'd be good for us. But anyway, this game is weird. I haven't seen anything like it. So you're a hero that goes around the loop and you make the loop, you make the enemies, you kind of put enemies at certain points for yourself. So you're crafting the level for your character. The more bad stuff you put down, the more buffed your guy gets. So like if you put down a mountain on his path, he gets more hit points, right? But then mountains spawn harpies. So there's a balance of how much you're going to put your guy through before he goes around. And then at a certain point, when you think that you're ready for a boss, you put the boss in. But it also doesn't tell you how to achieve things like spawning a boss for a particular level. You have to kind of combine different like forest, and it's almost like a artifact game where you're trying to put different kinds of pieces together to see what it spawns on the map. So there's like, it's a kind of like a mystery, and you're also building your own level for you to go through. There's no real combat. There is combat, but you're not controlling anything. Your character auto-attacks everything around going around the loop. Mm-hmm. So it's more about building the perfect level for your guy. And I don't think that's ever been done before. It's really interesting. I did a terrible job of explaining it, but it's weird when it's something new. And something new things are exciting. Mm-hmm. It has a card system as well.
That's like the new roguelike or the new like turn-based tactical. It's just going to be a card-based combat in every game now.
Yeah.
So this game is not out yet. Release date is 2021.
Yeah.
Sometime there. And being published by Devolver Digital. But I do not recognize the developer.
All right. Yeah, they're taking chances, man. And it's up to us to blow them up if they do well. So I'll try it out and we'll see where it goes.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
And on the radar for me is Nioh 2. As someone who loves Japanese folklore, Japanese ancient history and stuff like that, or just history in general, stuff like this really gets me going. It's a Dark Souls-ish game. I played the first one. I got like 90% of the way through the game on my PS4, and then my game save got corrupted.
Oof.
And so I gave up on that, like, because it's a super long time investment. It's a little bit more, to me at least, appealing than Dark Souls. They have what is called like a stance system. Like, there's different weapons, but you also have different stances for each weapon. So like, if you're facing a demon that has a club, you might have like a certain type of sword that needs to be in a certain type of
stance
to be able to deflect it or block it or whatever. So it deals with like, you know, Japanese demons, Japanese folklore, Japanese spirits. And then you have like humans and stuff. And it's a very artistic game. It's not hack and slashy like like Dynasty Warriors. It's very much slow and methodical like Dark Souls.
Hmm. Looks good.
Yeah, never. I'm very familiar with that game. Like, hear people talk about it all the time. Never played it. So this is coming out February 5th, right around the corner here.
3 weeks. So I'm super excited about it.
Or no, 50. I'm sorry, 50 US.
Dang. Yeah, it is. So like, I believe it's already out for PS4. However, the one coming to PC is like the quote unquote complete edition, where it's all like, you know, adapted for PC and stuff. I've never played it on PC. I'll probably play it on PC so my save file doesn't get corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks great.
So nice. Nick, speaking of different weapons and different stances and stuff, I beat Hades, finally.
Oh, wow, congratulations. How'd you like it?
It was good, and I do like the way... I mean, should I spoil it? It's not that big of a spoiler.
It's been out for a while, so yeah. I think so.
So, the whole time you're trying to get out of Hades by killing Hades, and you make it, and you're on the surface... And the subplot is you want to find your mother, Persephone. But there was a rift between Hades and Persephone. They don't, Hades doesn't even acknowledge her existence. But somehow, you as, what's his name? Whatever. The main character. Fuck. I know this. I've been playing it for, whatever. He knows in his heart that Persephone exists, even though his dad says that she's dead.
Zagreus, by the way.
Zagreus, yeah. And so he, you get to the surface, you kill Hades, finally, after 34 fucking tries, and you walk over, and there's Persephone, and you tell her the story of how you got there, and right when you get to, like, you know, pleasantries and stuff, he starts to die, and it's because he's bound to Hades just like his father is. He can't leave. So he only has a very small amount of time on the surface. So it's an ending, I imagine, that gets fed to you little by little every time you beat the game, because you only have a little bit of time on the surface to talk to Persephone, which is what your whole goal in life is, to ask her some questions, but he died right away too quickly. So it makes you want to keep beating the game so you get the endings in little bits. That's what I'm guessing.
Hmm.
You on board with that, Nick?
And with the saddest part, I think, you know, especially when you beat it the first time, is that Persephone breaks it to Zagreus. She's like, you're not meant for this world. Like, you're not meant for the surface world. You are stuck in Hades, and he doesn't realize it. And then his heart starts to break in, and then he dies. And then you're like, fuck!
Yeah, that was rough. But yeah, do you agree with that, Nick? You think that like more and more ending gets, you get a little bit more.
Yeah. So every time you beat the game, more of the story and more of Zagreus's, origin is revealed, and you start to argue with your mom. Like he's like, you know, there has to be a way for me to stay here, and there has to be a way for maybe you to come back to Hades and stuff like that. And she's constantly like, no. Like, You got to realize it has to be this way. Like, you are bound to Hades. And so his whole existence now is like kind of like that guy who pushes the rock up the hill.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus.
Yes. Sisyphus. Like, his life is now like Sisyphus's, where it's a constant repeat just to get to a small, satisfaction.
So. Yeah. Now, on the weapon side of things, why I brought this up is, so I don't know if you have to do this. You have to wait till you beat the game, Nick. With the Titan's Blood, when you upgrade your weapons, can you only do that after you beat the game? Do you know this?
So it's after. So to get the final ending, I believe it's 10 completions, right?
Yeah.
After the 7th completion, you can start using Titan's Blood to get variances. So the weapon I always used was the gun.
Uh-huh.
Because there's just like a broken build where you can turn the gun into a mortar that deals like a bajillion damage. Uh-huh. And then you just build crit. But the game purposely gives you Titan's Blood and a fuck ton of it in the beginning and throughout the story, just so you can kind of experiment once you do unlock it. But yeah, you need to get the final ending. But I think it's three completions before the final ending, you can start using Titan's Blood. And it's kind of like the final step to, you know, making your weapons super strong. Because to get to the final ending, you have to start using, like, these challenges. As weird as they sound, like, some of these challenges might be like every enemy now deals an additional 20% damage or has 30% more health, or traps will deal 400% more damage and you'll instantly die if you get hit by a trap.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty
There's a bunch of modifiers that, you know, you get more rewards the higher you put the modifiers and all this stuff. There's a lot of end game to go through. And right after I beat it, I just started playing again instantly. I don't know how much more I'm going to play, but the weapons, you know, they change and they're evolving. So my favorite weapon was the spear, and you used to throw it and then retrieve it, kind of like a boomerang, and it would do backstab damage on the back on the backswing. And I was like, "Well, this is the greatest shit ever." But then now, it's like modified by Achilles tactics or whatever. So you throw it and then you do a bull rush through the character, and now you're behind them and you did bonus damage, and now you can start backstabbing with your regular attack. And so that's just one of the many ways that these weapons that you've been playing for so long, they modify, and it's almost like playing a new style of something you've been playing for so long. So I'm excited to check out, because I love the gun, dude, but I can't get it to work.
So have you gotten to the final unlock of the spear by any chance?
No.
If you've noticed that every weapon like upgrade is like a Greek god kind of, right?
Yeah, right.
It's like Achilles' spear, you know, like Hades' blast or whatever like right. that. But the final one are gods from different universes.
Oh, shit.
Like, the final spear one is Guan Yu's spear.
Oh.
And Guan Yu obviously Chinese is the god myth. Of war in Chinese folklore.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And so, and like, the final ones really change how the weapons operate. Like, it changes the gun into kind of like a flamethrower / like flame stacking mechanic. It's really worth it to unlock the final transformations for each one. But you do have to look up how to do it, because the game does not help you. Like, for the spear, you have to talk to Achilles after beating a certain boss and, you know, in a certain amount of time and stuff like that. So it's all cryptic.
Really quick, just for those who play, the way I ended up beating Hades, it was just Hades that was, but I was getting to Hades 75% of the time. You know, it wasn't the rest of the game that was pushing back. It was Hades himself. I just couldn't get him dead. I got Demeter's cast.
Demeter.
There you go. Where you put down the crystal and the crystal shoots the laser and just holds it on. And then I ended up having I put crit on it, and then I also had like 5 gems. So I would just drop them all over the screen and basically just hide, run as much as I could, and these crystals just fucking burned them down. I was doing damage when I could, but for the most part, all I had to do was dodge, and eventually these crystals were going to kill them.
So did you beat Hades just once, or did you actually beat it the 10 times?
No, just once.
Oh, okay. Dude, you got so much more game to go through. It'll get easier, by the way. Like, the more you talk to gods,
yeah,
the more it gets easier.
Yeah, I'm already feeling that it's getting easier on the second playthrough.
Demeter.
All these YouTube videos that show you how to pronounce words, they always have like half thumbs down, half thumbs up. So I never know what to believe.
Well, that's all in the fucking...
Like every single one of them.
It's all in the mouth of the beholder.
First comment is, what are you, Russian?
Demeter. I'll be right back. I'm going to make a drink real quick.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Well, it's too bad that Nick is going, because he's got a lot of stuff to talk about. I feel like we should have him talk before I do, because I really don't have a whole lot to share this week. I spent most of my week catching up on old games. Played a lot of Deep Rock, played a lot of Killing Floor 2, played some more Death Stranding, and played more GTFO. So just real quick on Deep Rock, there is a big update coming up on February 5th. They announced the day, February 5th, 2 new biomes. New types of Mactera, which are the flying enemies.
What are the biomes? Do you know?
the Azure Weld. That one looks like it's kind of like underwater. It's got a very cool look to it. I don't know if you're actually going to be underwater. Yeah, if we bring up the Steam page here, it should have some shots of it. But yeah, it's called the Azure Weld. And the next one is something bow, but it's got these growing vines with thorns on it. Mm. So yeah, they both look pretty interesting. Cool. And new enemy types. It's going to be a pretty big update. So I'm excited to jump into that.
Good
February
shit.
5th. But yeah, so I played some more GTFO this week, and I played with listeners on Friday. You know, we had it scheduled. We jumped in there. Nick was there. Hopefully he'll be back and he can talk on this. But what's interesting, so one of the people we played with, Maven, he linked a video to me that kind of explained a little bit more about the game and their idea, because GTFO is in early access. It's like version 0.5. Like, they're still pretty early in the development of it. But the idea of it is you have these rundowns. So you have A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, and so on, down to, I think, E1 is the last level. They get increasingly difficult as you go on. We're currently on A3 right now. The game itself is just very difficult, and it requires a lot of communication. It's a great co-op game. But the idea that the developers have is they're going to have these rundowns where, you know, A1 through E1 that you can do. It's going to be up for a certain amount of time. Some of them will be longer than others. Maybe they could be weeks up to months. And then once that time is up, they get rid of those. They put in new ones, and they never go back to the old ones again.
Oh.
Completely new maps, new levels. Also different... because each rundown has rundown specific weapons, like weapons you can only equip for that rundown. So I assume they'll have new weapons as well. And then that's, they'll have that for a little while, and then they'll switch it up to something else after a certain period of time. So it's a really interesting way to do that. It's almost like seasonal content. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to keep the game fresh and to keep people coming back, because that's the problem you run into with a game like this. It's great. It's a lot of fun. But then once you beat it, you probably don't play it anymore, because there's really no progression or anything. You aren't leveling these characters up in any way.
Yeah, there's no unlocks. Like, there's like these bonus objectives, and it's like difficulty extreme. And like, I looked on the wiki and I looked on a bunch of other things, and it's like, why even do these, right? And like, the little explanation was, oh, to make the game a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. And they're going to add cosmetics to it, but they specifically said no pay-to-win stuff. Just, you know, cosmetics only. I guess you can unlock that, possibly buy it or something. But they've got a lot of plans for this, and it seems like they're really committed to the core, like making the core gameplay loop really fun.
What's cool about that, too, is you could add leaderboards. You know, people that get it done fastest or, you know.
Yeah, sufficient. Make it competitive in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby, did you feel that... the missions were, they were a little long. Like, they were like 45 minutes to an hour long.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say this. We played through A1 the first time. Last Friday, we played through A2. I think it took us two tries. I can't remember. And yeah, that took us 41 minutes to play through the entire map. Now, we started playing on A3. We failed twice. Just a real tough map. But when I played with just randoms, we played A3, and they burned through that in like 20, 25 minutes. And it was super, super easy. I was being carried, obviously. I didn't really know what I was doing.
Well, when you're dealing with the unknown, you're going super slow. Mm-hmm. You're going around corners, and you're checking out what the situation. Those guys you were talking about, Bobby, already know where all the spawns are. Most likely.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so much the spawns. The spawns, I think, is actually random. They change places. But when they got to one of the bulkhead doors, which you have to unlock, and then a horde comes out to you, it's got an alarm on it. Like, they just, you know, turret there, foam that door, here we go, boom. And then, like, they would just mow down the enemies. So they really knew...
the method.
Yeah, they knew how to handle the engagements, the fights, the ones that you can't avoid when you're unlocking the doors. And yeah, all I had to do was just basically stand around and like shoot some bullets to make sure it looked like I was doing something.
Nick, what were you going to say?
So shout out to Mavenstar. All right. And he brings up an excellent point, because it was me, Diddy, Mavenstar, and Bobby playing the game. So you have like arguably one of the widest arrays of the way people play games. Bobby's nice and slow, wants to use all of his resources. Diddy's like, you know, let's get to the action. I'm like, let's just run in and die. And then Maven was like, I'm going to code everything and look at inside the terminals. But Maven in our chat points out something that made Bobby the MVP of the whole fucking time. So there's this device, and it's called the bioscanner. All right. And Bobby, I've never heard Bobby talk so much in my life, because he's like, there's a guy around this corner. Okay. And he's crouching and he's not aggroed. And there's two more behind him. And there's a third one on the right. And he's just constantly calling out where people are. And it was like the best Bobby mechanic there was ever.
Yeah. Well, it is a pretty helpful device. At first I was like, is a bio tracker really worth it? And then visibility is a huge issue in this game. So with a bio tracker, they show up like little dots on your screen. And what's that dog that you take hunting with you?
A bloodhound?
Is it a bloodhound? The one that points, that's pretty much like I was, because you can't really like gesture inside the game. So I just like point my gun and I'd be like, all right, there's one right over there, right over there, you know, like doing my best to try and point, because visibility is like really, really tough. It's dimly lit, or there's lots and lots of fog, and you just cannot see stuff at all in this. But it is a great game. And I want to say this, like, now that I've put a good amount of hours into it, it's really not as hard as I initially thought it was. It is challenging, but it's like playing Deep Rock on Hazard 5. It's not really hard. It's just you can't screw around. You just got to like actually focus, you know,
and communicate. So one thing that, you know, this game was advertised as was like a semi-horror game. Are there moments where you feel scared?
Not really, because we're always like talking to each other. And so it's not like a horror game, but it is like when we screw up like a pool or something, and like the whole room gets aggroed and you just see a bunch of red dots start running at you, then it's like, it's not like I'm horrified or anything, but I am kind of like, oh shit.
I do get pop-up scared where like you will miss someone. You're like, normally you're like, there's a guy up the stairs. He's 2 meters to the left. There's another guy behind this door. He's having a bad day. But I'll turn a corner and it's like something, cause I'm constantly listening for Bobby's calls. Diddy will say something, I'll ignore it. Maybe I'll like say something, I'll ignore it. But Bobby's like, I'm like, all right, Bobby's talking, everyone shut up. But sometimes you'll miss one and I'll see it and I'll like jump out of my chair. I'm like, fuck. And so I love this game. I love the atmosphere. I hope it continues to, you know, develop, and I hope we can play it more. I really hope that Emilio can join us at one time, or even just take my spot, because dude, you gotta play this game. It's really fun.
Me and Diddy played a few times, and
no, you gotta play with four people, because the difficulty doesn't scale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we got past, like, I'm even more proud. I said it last time. I'm so proud that we got past the first fucking door where they all swarm, just with two people. Like, that was pretty good.
So yeah.
Yeah, we tried six times, but we did it.
You think that you're like, oh man, yeah, yeah, no, the alarm door, right? That's the first door you go through is an alarm two door. And then when all of us were like, Bobby's like, hold up a second, this is an alarm three door. And then we did it and we were like, oh fuck, dude, it was so hard.
Yeah.
And then the next one we came up on was an alarm four door. And we didn't make it through that. But when we had stopped playing, like when we had finished playing the last time, I had said, you know, something that I had noticed when playing with the randos that were really good. They made a point about not exploring every area. And the way we have been playing in our little group is we scout every corner of the place.
Why wouldn't you?
Because resources are extremely valuable. Well, the problem we ran into on A3 was we kept running out of ammo. We just didn't have enough ammo. And so you've got to be It's tough too, because you don't necessarily know what it is. That's what you have to use a terminal for, to locate things and ping things and decide if it's going to be worth, because you will spend more resources scouting out a room than you will actually getting whatever valuables are inside that room. Sometimes there's nothing and you wasted half your ammo, and they don't just throw a lot of things at you in that game. Like, they don't just shower you with ammunition and tools and refills and health. You know, it's very much a matter of resource management.
So I looked it up, and it's very much a variant system, right? So each level will have at least, like for example, like this mission is this long, so therefore it'll have two med kits, two ammo packs, and two, you know, lock cutters at a minimum. But the game will have like a variance, so there could be like 8 med packs, but only 3 ammo packs. But if you play the same mission, it could have 7 ammo packs the next time and like 6 med kits. Mm-hmm. And so there's a limited amount, but there's a variance, like a random variance amongst the things that you can
like
get.
Like a sliding scale, multiple sliding scale.
Well, we were way off in our last two runs. I mean, we were getting to that last door and people were just completely out of everything. It's like, all right, hammers out, boys. You
know? Hammers out, boys.
I love the first mission that we completed together, like as a team. Like, we played last Friday, and we're like, you know, we're gonna take it slow. We're gonna go through this, the first mission, and like Bobby's like, the last time I played this game, we got to the end part. There was like a bajillion enemies, so let's fortify, let's put down the turrets, everything. So like, we're getting all set up. I'm putting down mines, we're putting down turrets and everything, and then like, all right, now get into the spot so we can, you know, activate the alarm. We get into the spot, mission complete.
No,
and
alarm.
All of our 8-minute fucking setup just went for nothing.
Now, question: I don't know how you guys are going to go forward from here. You could either continuously play through the updates, or you can put this on the back burner for 6 months. Which one do you think is going to be more rewarding, and which one are you actually going to do?
Well, they're going to be adding new content constantly, it sounds like, so there's no harm in playing right now.
Right,
like,
but you can get burned out on a game before it's at its pinnacle.
But we aren't exactly flying through this game. I mean, I've got 6 or 8 hours in this, and we're working. Well, I have completed A1, 2, and 3. They get increasingly harder with every level, too. So, we're basically on the third level after, like, many hours of this game. So,
What I will say is,
it's
like,
it's fucking hard, Bobby. Take back your last fucking comment.
One thing I will say about the game is that, you know, I love the atmosphere. I love the mission types. Because, like, the first mission, you're, like, you're going through, like, this lab, kind of. The second mission, you're going through, like, these tunnels. But the third mission, you're going through, like, this industrial area. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more open. So I like the variance in that. But the only comment that I have to change would be enemy types. Every enemy tends to be like this weird kind of Last of Us style zombie kind of character. And if they could maybe in the next like update or whenever they release the new like things that they're switching out every season, you know, maybe they could be like bugs next time. I would hope that, but that's my only complaint about the game.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with the enemies. They do have a lot of different kinds. They all kind of look about the same. They've got different distinguishing characteristics that let you know how or what they react to, or how you have to kill them. But I don't know.
Look at that ass, dude. Look at that ass on this guy.
That's not a good
look. Bro, he got the Hank Hill butt. It goes in.
Gross. So yeah, GTFO, great game. Been posted in the LFG, and hopefully we're going to play again. I think on Monday we're going to try to get together, but I don't know if everyone can commit to that.
You mean tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow.
I'm down.
Okay, tomorrow at 5. I'll post it in LFG.
Yeah, I'm down. I think Maven's probably down. He'll probably post in the chat if he is, but you know, we'll make amends.
Yeah. So it's always better, I feel like, to ping people in LFG there. We need to add that to our system, like a specific game or something where you can ping people. All right. So, Nick, you got a lot of stuff to talk about. Why don't you tell us about this?
So, Bobby, I know that you play with in-ear headphones in, and you constantly, you know, when you're at home, you have in-ear headphones. And then, Emilio, I don't really know your setup. Do you use, like, a gaming headset as far as for your earphones, or do you do you use like an actual headphone set?
I have a SteelSeries 5, but I just got the AT2020 for my mic. I just got the mic stand too, Bobby, the one that I think she has. The stand for the adapter for the mic stand. You know what I'm talking about?
So
you're talking about the
you send
the
me the
shock
link for
mount?
It. Yeah, the shock mount.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I just got that. So I get my audio through the SteelSeries.
Okay, so my like the reason why I'm bringing this up is that, you know, I just purchased these actual headphones that you're seeing on screen, the DT990s Pros Open Studio headphones. They're arguably probably the most popular set of headphones that I've seen amongst people that play like competitive shooters like Escape from Tarkov and like Warzone and things like that. But my question is, do you guys ever see yourselves, you know, shelling out large amounts of cash for a quote unquote high end headset? Because I keep seeing these things like, oh, if you're into music or if you're into competitive shooters, you really need to use an actual set of headphones and not a gaming headset. You guys ever see yourselves getting into that?
Well, before I got the SteelSeries, Sam bought them for me for like Christmas or my birthday or something. And I wasn't asking for them because I was going with Mini Del Macho's theory on, you know, good sound quality is good sound quality. Just go for the best headphones and then get a good microphone, right? So he has Sennheisers. So I was about to spend, like, think like $220-$230 for the Sennheisers that seem to be the, you know, the ones that are like higher middle tier. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be good for me. Really good reviews and stuff. And then, like, as I was looking at those things, that's when she bought me a SteelSeries. I ended up being really happy with those. You know, I'm not competitive anymore. Like, I'm too old. I'm over the hill. You've played first person shooters with me, Nick. It's not pretty anymore.
Yeah, you're the guy that watches the bomb. You're nice and slow, and we can rely on you.
Yeah, pretty much. So maybe my next set will be something like a Sennheiser. Or something like that. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
And Bobby, what do you currently play with right now? Because I know you play with in-ear headphones, and there's some people that really love those.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of use them out of convenience. I never really liked the feel of headsets, and earbuds were always, I don't know. I mean, the sound is definitely not going to be as good in that, but for me, they're more comfortable. I use the Bose SoundSports. I think they're called, they're like $100, or at least they were when I got them. They probably got a newer, better version of them. And they don't plug your ears when you plug them in. They've got this little clip on the inside that like clips to the top part of your ear. And that's kind of how it stays in there. So they're very comfortable. Yeah, I'm like super happy with that. Honestly, like Amelia said, like I'm not super competitive. I'm not super hung up on like really high end stuff and like trying to like squeeze every last drop of performance or, you know, having like the ultimate experience or anything. Like I'm like a good enough guy. Like I'll spend a little bit of money, get something that's pretty good, and that's fine with me. Yeah. You know, when I watch movies though, I do switch to some Sennheisers, and these are like 12-year-old Sennheisers that somebody just gave me. And they're pretty good. They're wireless, which is really convenient. And they're perfect for what I need. Like I can hear dialogue and everything sounds pretty good. You know, I'm not looking for, I did the whole home theater thing for a long time. Like when I was younger, I really put a lot of money. Like I was rocking a projector in like 2006, dude. Like I remember paying like thousands of dollars for a 1024 by 768 projector. And people would come over and be like, whoa. Dude, yeah. Whoa. And it was like a big fucking deal. And I'd got like the 7.1 surround system and I just went all out with that stuff. And, yeah, it's expensive. It was cool. But like, I got to the point where I was like, fuck, I could pay. Well, I used to be able to pay like $22 a month, see like 15 movies a month, you know, go to the movies like 2-3 times a week and basically have the latest and greatest, you know, like Dolby, whatever, you know, sound system, projection, color and focus, everything done just right. I don't have to pay when like this shit gets outdated and they got an upgrade, they pay for it. So like, I think in the long run, it was just like, honestly cheaper. Cause you know, before COVID, I was going to the movie theaters like 2-3 times a week.
I got to disagree with your theory here a little bit, Bobby, because you watch so much movies at home. Like mm-hmm. 10 times
I do more. Now. Yeah, I watch a lot at 10 home.
Is the time. Although now you can get away with like VR and a nice place, a nice pair of headphones. Because, you know, you've done it. You've watched a movie in VR, right?
Well, I'm not like... I'm really happy with my setup. I got a 60-inch TV, and I got my old, like, dusty Sennheisers. And that totally works for me. Like, that's better than a lot of people have. Now, there's, like, leaps and bounds that I could do over that, right? Like, I could get a 4K TV and, you know, some, like, a really nice sound system and set it up. But I just, I don't know, because I always think of the time, okay, I went and saw the first Lord of the Rings movie. Not Lord of the Rings, the other one, The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
It was right when they were doing that 60 FPS thing.
Yeah.
I went and I saw that. First time ever seeing 60 FPS 3D. No idea what was happening in the movie for the first 20 minutes. I was just so, like, distracted by, in a good way. I was like, this was so impressive, like, visually and, like, the audio. Like, you could hear, like, the arrow go here or here, you know, very specifically. Yeah. I was so distracted by the technology for, like, 20 minutes. I had no idea what was going on in the story. So, I don't know. I think sometimes people tend to get really into the technology of movies and stuff. And that's cool. That's fine. And like, you know, I love that stuff. I love the movie theater or the high quality experience. But when it comes down to it at the end of the day, like it's not going to make fucking Catwoman any better, which I watched yesterday. It's a fucking nightmare, people.
With Halle Berry?
Yeah, dude, I'd never seen it. I was like, let's give it a shot.
Bro, are like, you 30, serious?
I was like, 30 minutes. I've never seen it. And it came out in like 2004. And yeah, notoriously bad. And I'm watching it, like 30 minutes, I'm like, you know, this isn't as bad as everyone said. And then like within the next 15 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is as bad as everyone said.
Is that 1.5 stars on your review, or is that just half a star?
No, that's 1.5.
How did it get the half star?
It was going down. I was like 2.5, 2. All right, this is 1.5. I don't know if this is one. I've been watching a lot of Ghoulies movies lately. Ghoulies 1, 2, Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College.
I don't remember what Ghoulies are.
Yeah, nobody does.
What the fuck is Ghoulies?
They're famous for the toilet Ghoulies scene in Ghoulies 2.
Oh, yeah. They were like a knockoff of Gremlins.
Of Gremlins, yeah. And so were Critters. So, I mean, I think I've been watching a lot of that. So my standards are kind of like shifted a little bit.
Bro, if your standard just Ghoulies and fucking Catwoman ranks below Ghoulies 2, that just speaks to how bad Catwoman
definitely
is, man.
Ranks below Ghoulies 2. Let me tell you, man, I am firm on that, dude. I will watch Ghoulies 2 again before I ever watch Catwoman. Yeah, but Catwoman's an interesting movie because it's just like they put a lot of money into that movie. They put a lot of money and a lot of star power and a lot of effort. And they just made some really weird decisions, like some really weird choices, like in the script, in the editing, the soundtrack, a little weird. Yeah.
Do you think that, like, can you imagine this, right? When did Iron Man 1 come out, right? Mm-hmm. Iron Man 1. Okay. 2008. And then when did Catwoman come out?
2004.
Catwoman.
2004. Yeah.
Well,
you know what?
Do you think Kevin Feige was like, we're going to go from Catwoman, and in 3 years, we're going to make arguably the greatest superhero.
Wasn't Catwoman Warner Bros? I thought that was a different studio. I don't know, but I just assumed.
Because isn't Catwoman a DC character, right?
Yeah, but who knows who had the rights back then. But yeah, dude, the special effects made a big leap in between that. But Favreau never wanted to use special effects in Iron Man. He fought against it because he always said they looked fake the story is, like, who knows if this really happened. But he was watching, like, some footage, and he's just like, see, that doesn't look real. I'm not buying it at all. And someone's like, oh, that's not the special effects. That one is over there. And he's like, oh, okay. I can't even tell the difference anymore. I guess we'll use the special effects. So
yeah,
he was never a fan of special effects, but they had just gotten so good by that time.
Are you into the Marvel universe at all? Like, are you committed or do you know anything about
really.
It?
I've seen a lot of the movies, but no, I'm not particularly into a lot of that.
Have you seen WandaVision yet? It came out this week.
Yeah, I know. The first two episodes dropped. Everyone's talking about it. I might check it out. I mean, it looks kind of interesting.
Do you like the Twilight Zone at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really enjoy the new one by Jordan Peele, but
No. I'm talking about the old Twilight Zone with like, Rod, you know,
Sterling
Beauties in the Eye of the Beholder and all that kind of stuff.
I watched all that. Yeah.
I think if you like that, if you like the Marvel Universe, you'll definitely like WandaVision.
Mm-hmm. Everything I've been reading about it is pretty positive and sounds very intriguing. And it's only two episodes, so that feels pretty bite-sized for me. I think I could do that. But anyway.
Well, I believe it's a 10-episode season. They're just doing two at a time.
Yeah, they're doing it incrementally.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
WandaVision.
Oh, I watched the first two.
Pretty good.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear it's different.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, my whole point is, it doesn't matter how good your gear is, some movies still suck.
And your Bose headset isn't going to save Catwoman, all right?
Yeah. But then, you know, then you have like the Christopher Nolans of the world who are like, this needs to be experienced in IMAX to get the full experience.
Right.
Well, isn't that what they said about Tenet, though? Like, Tenet got review bombed because everyone said if this was in an IMAX with surround sound, it'd be 1,000 times better. But people watching on their Samsung 55-inch, TVs with
Nolan stock wouldn't let TV it be released except in theaters. Because but I
doesn't make
know
the movie any better or worse, though.
Well, yeah, I know. Some people said, "Well, the audio wouldn't have been as muffled or something." I know people who went and saw it in the theater, and they had the same problem, and it was possibly even worse. So, yeah, I don't know. Big screens and high quality audio is great, but I would much rather just like pay a movie theater,
But you don't have that option anymore.
Yeah, for now.
I kind of feel like you should spend money on the thing that you do like 30 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of in like a real, for the last year or two, I've been in this phase where I'm just like being happy with the stuff I have and not just always wanting whatever's new. And it's working out pretty well for me. All right, Nick, lay it on us. What do you got?
So, as someone with a newborn and, my wife works the complete opposite schedule. I work in the morning. She works in the afternoon. We don't get to spend that much time together. I discovered this game from an Australian YouTuber named Stimpy, and it's called Labyrinthine. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Labyrinthine?
Labyrinthine. I think that's how you pronounce it. Emilio, this is a shout out to you. I think you and Sam should definitely get into games like this. It's a game that you play co-op. You can play single player, but it's designed for co-op, right? Mm-hmm. It's a horror game. And me and Leslie's date nights are every Saturday night. And so we play games, we build models and stuff like that. And I feel like this game, it may not be like a killer, right? It's not going to be 10 out of 10 on everybody's scale. But just playing together and experiencing a game together is definitely a big shout out. Believe it or not, I was the chicken of the situation, and Leslie was the one constantly running into battle, even though there is no fighting in this game. I suggest if you're looking for a game to play with a significant other, or if you're looking to like kind of have a quote unquote date night, this is the game for you guys.
How's it co-op? Is it a split screen?
No. So you have to have two rigs.
Gotcha.
As you look behind me, you can see Leslie's huge 37-inch monitor, ultra widescreen. The only video that plays on the whole thing correctly is a Dua Lipa music video. But it is a great game to experience if you do have a rig for your significant other. Amelia, you can buy Sam like a laptop or something. It's not graphically intensive. We've only made it about 2 hours in, and I feel like if you have someone to play with, definitely play this game with them.
Cool, man. That's a good recommendation.
Hey, and Warconius asks, date night, does it result in sex? Sometimes,
Sniper, can you magnify the screen, the Steam screens? I can't read shit.
Yeah, control, right over there. Perfect. Mouse wheel up.
Good shit. Nice. All right, let's move on. Speaking of rigs, Chad got a new rig. I think he's been wanting to come on. He says he can come on as long as we don't talk about games. So he can come on and talk about like hardware or movies or things like that. Anyway, he bought an NZXT. I was like, yeah, cool, your case, what else did you buy? He's like, no, I got everything from them. And the reason he ended up going, but I didn't know they built PCs. I thought they were just making cases, but just like fucking Cooler Master, I guess is coming up later. They will build you your PC. And the reason he went with this is because it's the only way he can get a 3070. They have them in stock, or at least they did at the time that he bought it. And yeah, you know, that's one of the ways that you can get a 3070. You just buy a pre-rig, pre-built. So, you know, if you're dying to get one, this is an option that you can do. Or you could also, you know, buy a really low level one and upgrade it later or whatever. But that is a way to get a 3070.
Looks like they already got some templates set up, like a gaming PC, a streaming PC, creator PC. Okay.
Yeah, and he said, so you pick your parts, and you're paying like the going rate for all these parts. This is just kind of like Amazon prices, and they assemble it for you for $100. I mean, that's not crazy, right?
That's not bad at all.
No.
I wonder if they have access to parts, because buying hardware is such a pain in the ass now, man. Yeah. It's really unfortunate. Like a new CPU or GPU comes out and you can't even buy it, or you play the whole, you pay gouged prices, or you do the whole eBay thing, or like you do the refresh page thing a million times. It didn't used to be like that. I feel like this all started with the Bitcoin stuff a couple of years ago. But there was a time when this madness was going on where this was the only way you could get, I don't know, I think it was a graphics card, and people were just buying the pre-made
and getting
rigs with the graphics card, taking the graphics card out, selling it, and then just throwing another GPU in there and like pretty much just making their money back and more.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they do have access to newer things like the AMD Ryzen 5950X or 5900X that you can't really buy unless you pay outrageous prices on eBay.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think, you know, in pre-production, the companies meet and they have contracts. It will give you X amount of money for this amount of cards. Before, it probably even helps out with production or R&D, because they probably get the money before they're even manufactured, you know? So, yeah, there's all kinds of deals that go on before. And so you have to fulfill those orders first before it goes to the public. Yeah. So even if it's a very small amount, they do get a batch.
Yeah. This is a really scary step for a lot of people getting into PC gaming too. So like building your own computer.
Oh yeah.
That's a huge hurdle for a lot of people.
So have either of you guys ever heard of a PC Part Picker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. Everybody's
I think that is way better than NXZT or NZXT.
Well, they don't build your computer for you, do they?
No. So that's the one thing, like you have to assemble your computer. My new rig that I just built, I looked up how much it would cost on like Cooler Math, like all the pre-built situations, right? Where you can quote unquote shop around. And I saved like $400. And what I ended up doing was there's a local computer repair shop where I was like, can you guys assemble my PC? And they're like, sure, it's going to be $25. And I ended up getting a 2-year warranty.
Wow.
If anything goes wrong with my computer, I just take it back to them and I just fix it.
That's cool, man.
Like, I don't got to worry about it at all. So if you have something like that, like a small town computer repair shop that'll assemble it for you, then it's more than worth it to just, you know, buy it on PC Part Picker. Because I literally walked in, my trunk was full of PC fucking parts.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's everything. And they're like, all right, it'll be $25. That's it.
$25. That's cheap.
That's incredibly cheap.
Yeah. But they're usually probably not dealing with your kind of person very often. You know, it's probably just
No. They saw that I had a 3070 and they were like, how did you get this, sir?
We'll do it for free.
And they were like, the stuff that they were selling in the store as like pre-built PCs, mind you, I live in Georgia. I live in Augusta, Georgia. So like no one's running around here with, you know, 3090s and stuff like that. They were shocked to see a computer like that, but everything in there, like the most expensive computer was $400, and it had like an i7, like fifth generation with like a 3 terabyte hard drive. And so I was like, are you guys sure you know how to build this? And like, not to be, you know, derogatory or anything, but like the guy behind the cash register was like, yo, I got a rig like this so I can build it for you. And I was like, all right. And so it was $25. That's with the military discount. Apparently it would have been $45 with that.
Hey, Sniper, can you find the video that I posted on the Hangout? It's probably the last thing I posted. It's kind of pertaining to this. What else you got, Nick? Oh, yeah.
Sorry, you got me. You caught me eating a combo.
Bobby, go into your cooler master.
I've eaten quite a bit of combos in my day. I used to get those from 7-Eleven all the time. What flavor are you eating there, Nick?
I got the cheddar cheese, but it's not pretzel. It's baked cracker.
Oh, okay, the baked one. Yeah, it's a good one. Dude, the pizza ones, they certainly don't taste like pizza, but I eat them anyway, man. They got a weird flavor to them.
Have you seen this, Bobby? The combo pizza flavor is like the LaCroix of combos. It's like someone said pizza near the combo, and it kind of tastes like it.
Dude, I get like menstrual cramps when I eat those, man. I swear. It like hurts my stomach so bad when I eat a whole bag of combos, and like I still do it. It's been a while, though. I've been pretty good. Are we going to play this video? I can't quite hear the audio.
It's fine.
If you got to play this. This shit is the best.
It seems staged to me. Seemed a little staged.
You can't listen to a little kid that hasn't mastered his W's yet.
Dude, usually I'll call bullshit when I think it's staged. I thought this was 100% genuine.
Yeah, did you hear what he actually wants in the video? Mm-hmm. He wants a gaming PC to play Minecraft.
Yeah.
And he gets a fucking PS5, which is arguably worth like $900. Stepping all over it.
Quiet.
Oh my god, I wanted a PC.
I'm sorry, what?
So the video is a kid gets a PS5 for Christmas, opens it up, and is not happy with it.
So I wanted a PC, and he kind of like kicks at it. People are dying for a PS5 right now.
PC, I told you Santa'll buy that.
Have you ever seen the similar? Have you ever seen like the little kid who's more than elated to get a Charizard in like 1997 in Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, I got a Charizard. He's like, ah, he's crying. He's rocking, right? And his little brother's like, I got a holographic muck. And he's like, fuck you. I got a Charizard. This is the greatest moment of my life. And this is the antithesis of this. This little kid does not want this PS5 at all.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good little video. I thought it was funny at the end of the video, the mom's like, he's like, I wanted a PC. And then his mom's like, I couldn't find one. And it's just like that. That's what really, I really think it's authentic because she's like, I feel like she went out looking for a console called PC and couldn't find one. That's what I think.
Maybe, anyway. I don't know. I find a lot of this stuff that gets posted on Reddit, like videos like this, end up being fake. I feel like.
Either way.
No, dude, you got to, like, if you have the time to really watch this by yourself and, like, look into it, that little kid is fucking mad. And it's hard to fake that madness. He's like, I've been there. Where it's like, you know, I want this certain thing. I don't get it for Christmas. I'm kind of mad. That's just me being a spoiled little son of a bitch. But
Nick, tell me.
This little kid's real.
Bobby. I just control F to the comments. Only one person says it's fake, Bobby. And I think it's you. I think you put that on. Right?
That thread has been locked for some reason.
Bobby, tell me about your mouse while this guy stuffs his face because he can't fucking.
Oh, I'm done eating. I'm out of combo.
No, you're not. I'm watching you chew, dude. Bobby, tell me about your mouse.
My mouse. Okay, so I started using the new mouse. I had talked about getting this mouse earlier. It is the Cooler Master MM710. This might be the only model they make. I didn't know Cooler Master even made mice, but apparently they do. This is one of the ones very trendy now to have this hex design where you have this honeycomb mesh plastic. It reduces the weight, I suppose. And, you know, everyone's always trying to make a lighter and lighter mouse. It is extremely light. I don't quite like the shape of it as much as my last mouse, which was a Logitech G Pro. That one was a little more narrow. It was a little more comfortable for me. This one feels a little, just a hair wider. But it is a good mouse. Because it is so light, it feels cheap. It feels like a little cheap piece of plastic. So I was kind of like, that doesn't feel right. But then I was like, well, it's like a 50-gram mouse. Like,
that's what you're paying
for.
Yeah,
that's what you're paying for.
But yeah, I used to have a movie business. And almost for sure, every time it was heavier furniture, it's always like higher grade. Almost always. It's just like flimsy and light and cheap are just all together usually. Unless you're talking about sports cars or sports mice, which we're getting into.
Yeah, I guess, man. This is not a very flashy mouse. It does not. It's got nothing that lights up. It's got nothing, no cool little designs on it or anything. It is just like flat black with the honeycomb mesh. It's got the two mouse buttons. It's got the two buttons on the side and a scroll wheel. I disabled the two buttons on the side. I like to pin those to like volume up and volume down on my computer, but it didn't have that in the software. The software, by the way, is very basic. I do like it. I'm glad to be finally rid of like any Logitech software. Like I don't have to run any Logitech software on my computer. That is pretty nice. But the software for this, like to set it up, super basic, super clear cut. Like you could tell they're just kind of like who makes the Meshify cases that we had the thing with, the company.
Fractal
Design. That's kind of what this reminds me of. It's just like super simple, everything you want, no like flashy bells and whistles. Like it's just right down to the point. So I do like the mouse. It took a little while to get used to it. I started playing games, got the DPI just right. The middle mouse button definitely feels different. That's taken a little getting used to. So when I started playing like Killing Floor 2, when I play Medic, I shoot my healing darts with the middle mouse button. That's what it's bound to by default. So that was kind of throwing me off a little bit. The thing that they really brag about with this mouse, the Cooler Master MM710, is that the cable is super, super light. Because, computer nerds always got to talk about cable drag when it comes to mice.
Right.
And it is really light, dude. It's like it's not even there. It's like the lightest cable I've ever felt. Because what always happens, and I have yet to, I need to get like one of those cable clips or mounts or something. Because mine always tries to like flop over off to the side of the desk and yank my mouse, kind of put a little bit of pressure pulling to the right. And I'm always like readjusting and putting back up.
They got those things. You just fucking glue it to the top of your thing and you run the cable through it and
You don't even glue it. It's just like a little stand and it goes up on it and it like lifts it up a little bit. I need to get one of those. There might even be a simpler solution that I just haven't bothered with yet.
Duct tape.
It's just it's literally like just every so often I just push it back over there and it's fine. But the cable is super, super light. And I don't really like going with wireless mice. I really don't need it in my situation. So this works out really well for me.
Well, how much would it cost?
I got it on sale for $30.
Damn.
I think it's...
Oh, wow.
$30. What a deal. I think it is normally $50. And even at that, for my G Pro, what did I pay for that? Like $80, $75?
You're talking about like regular mouse prices now. Like if somebody, like a soccer mom needed a mouse, she's probably going to go pay $20 or $30.
Someone who used to work at Best Buy, I know exactly what you're fucking talking about. They're like, I want to buy a computer, and I need a mouse and a keyboard, okay? And I want to spend $40 for the mouse.
Yeah.
And this is like, you give this to a Karen or just a soccer mom, they're going to fucking love it.
Well, what do gaming mice usually cost? Around $100, I'd say?
No, that's on the higher end. 60 to 80? I'm saying?
As someone with a Corsair Scimitar Pro, which has the MMO mouse, which has the 12 buttons on the side, as well as a weight system where you can literally add or remove weights, it was like $79.
Yeah. And Bobby, I'm going to die on this fucking hill, and I don't understand. I usually can see other people's prerogative. I don't understand why you would not bind reload to your mouse button on the right. Why would you ever want to take away your ability to strafe right so that you can reload for even a millisecond?
What are you talking about?
Okay.
R is for reload.
Right. Okay. But why
universal?
Why would you want to take your finger off of D to push R if you could just reload with your mouse and doesn't cost any?
I mean, if I trained myself, I could.
E probably is for strafing and Q is for strafing. You maniac.
No, dude. Well,
not only in like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
No, because I haven't really trained myself to do that, and I'm sure I could, but I really don't see the point. I've gotten very nimble.
I'm telling you the point. You're taking away your ability to strafe to the right for half a second to reload.
Yeah, but when you hit the button on the left, it's kind of weird to hit a button on the side of your mouse. Imagine trying to do that while you're trying to aim and shoot at the same time.
Bro, it's easy, Bobby.
Not if you're doing it all the time. And the other thing
it's
I put on
easy.
That, so one is reload and the other one's melee attack. I don't see why not everybody in the world does this. It seems like a no-brainer.
My thumb doesn't really rest in that spot. Like, it takes a little bit. My left hand can make it to the R way quicker than my thumb could make it to that side button. That's just, I don't know. It's not the way that I hold my mouse. And also, it kind of messes it up, especially when you're playing with a 50-gram mouse. You press something on the side, it ever so slightly is going to, like,
Across the room.
It's going to move your mouse a little bit. So if, like, you're aiming or something, it's like I lose control. I may not actually.
Bro, are you left kicking with your fucking middle finger? Like, what is going on here?
What are you talking? Oh, you're talking about this mouse? This 200?
No, I'm talking about you. Are you left? Like, how are you holding the mouse? Where you're like talking about your inability to put your thumb on the left hand side of the mouse?
No, my thumb is there, but it's just not like readily available to hit it. Like, I got to move it up and press it. I don't know.
This mouse weighs 10 nickels. You have to be careful. One false move and it just flies, dude.
Yeah.
how is that a form of measurement?
Dude, here's the thing, man. It weighs 10 nickels. Like, you can literally argue like one way or the other all day, and either one is fine because you train yourself to do whatever. I mean, using a keyboard for gaming makes absolutely no sense. That's not what a keyboard was designed for, and yet we've done it. But if you train yourself to do something, it becomes very easy. So I just don't really want to, like, relearn it and, like, bind that stuff. Plus, I got to go into every single game and, like, rebind, reload, and melee. Like, no, I'm not going to, I don't want to do that. Like, I've already learned, I've already like mastered the art of hitting R while strafing, you know, like I've learned how to do that. It's like playing the piano, man. There are things on the piano where like, I'm never going to be able to learn how to do that. I spend like a week on it and it's like, oh, I can do it. You know, like you can teach your brain. Fucking Jim Abbott can pitch a no hitter. Like you can reload with your R key. All right. That's all I'm saying.
You know Bobby's anger when he brings out the fucking baseball reference.
What I'm saying is if you get good at this alternate route, it's better than being good at the R route.
You can reload 0.1 microsecond earlier. Like,
yeah, and melee. Don't forget that.
And melee.
And reload and melee. Same time. Boom.
But can you shoot while you're doing that? So you're going to press two buttons at the same time?
Of course. Of course.
But then you have to teach your hand, like, okay, there's going to be pressure coming from the side on the mouse, so you got to counter it with pressure on the other side. Like, I don't know. I'm not, like, do everything with the mouse guy. I had one of the mice like Nick had where the very first one that Razer had that had 12 buttons on the side, and I spent a good deal of time, like, trying to use that in WoW, like, the whole 12 buttons on the side, and after a while, I was just like, nah.
That's too much, man. That's too much.
God damn it. You're a goddamn dinosaur, Bobby. Everybody plays WoW, that plays it seriously, has a 12-person, like, 12-button mouse. It's not that hard. You know what I do? As the middle-aged, well, you know, 30 is not really middle-aged. But all you do, dude, is just assign it to the numpad buttons. That's all you do. You just, with the Corsair technology, you just assign one through nine to the numpads. That's it.
Yeah.
And you do 10 as comma, 11 as fucking quotation marks, and 12 as close bracket.
Yeah. No, I'm sure those have a lot of value, especially because WoW has like 36 spells that you need to have on your toolbar. But especially let me tell you now, dude. Like when I played WoW, like during the peak back in 07, a really good friend of mine, known him since middle school, we played together, and one time he came over, he lived like in the same apartment complex as me. And I said, let's do some arenas, man. Let's do it like in the same room. I got another computer. It'll be great communication, like right there. So he comes over and we're playing arenas and he doesn't even use a mouse when he plays WoW. And he's pretty good.
Damn.
And I'm like, dude, that's how you play?
Arrow keys?
he had a weird system. All right. He used like the number pad as like his, he bound them to like movement keys, and then his spells were all on like the keyboard there. So he was like moving with the, it was weird, dude.
Damn.
But that's how
you want to know what the new situation of that is now.
What's that?
You know how S is backpedal in World of Warcraft?
Mm-hmm.
S is now for the quote unquote pros.
Yeah. I've heard.
Your primary spell. You no longer backpedal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
you turn with your mouse to backpedal now.
Yeah, somebody who, you know, Tyler, right?
Yeah.
Remember Tyler? Yeah, he was telling me that. Like, nobody uses the S key in WoW anymore. Nobody backpedals. It's yeah, man. But my point is, you can train your brain and your fingers to literally do, like, whatever, no matter how difficult it seems. So, like, I don't know. Every single game has reload on R. So I just roll with it, dude. Default controls. Let's not reinvent the wheel here.
Killing me, dude. Killing me.
I appreciate and respect your decision, Bobby, but I also say, God damn it, you're old. Get a 12-button mouse.
So, Warconius' comment, I can't let it go. It's too good. So, that $220 mouse, $230 mouse, it's called the Mad Cat's Rat. It said confusing branding. Is it a cat or is it a rat? And also, it's a mouse. It's a mouse, rat, and a cat. God damn.
Have you ever seen the memes about the Mad Cat's controller? It's like whenever you play Mario Kart and your buddy comes over, like you get the default N64 controller, but you give your buddy the Mad Cat's N64 controller. It's shaped like a boomerang and it's got two extra buttons.
Yeah, for us it was called the Rhino, dude. I had this like cheap ass shit. It was called the Rhino. It was like twice as big as the other fucking Nintendo controllers. What was I going to say? Fucking lost it. Anyway, let's move on. Nick, since you have 1,000 things.
Wow. Okay. That hurts. No, I just wanted to be prepared for this week's podcast. So games being free on Epic, do you think that Epic is trying so hard to get people to either use their platforms? And this also comes in with Hitman 3, why I brought this up, where they're giving away free games. Like, for example, Battlefront 2, which is available on EA, but you can't get it for free on EA. But then again, if you play it on Epic, you lose all your progress. And it's exactly in the situation of Hitman 3, where owners of Hitman 2 can no longer transfer their progress from Hitman 2 or their saves or the things that they purchased from Hitman 2 into Hitman 3. And that is something that they advertise. Do you think that Epic should be really promoting this kind of style of, you know, these games are free or these games are compatible? Or do you think that there needs to be an invitation or a program that kind of binds everything? And my one example of that is the people that make Doom. If you buy Doom on Steam, right, you buy Doom Eternal, your Doom progress from the Bethesda launcher transfers over. And I think that's probably the best example of everything actually working. But people are losing their Hitman 2 progress and their Hitman 2 saves and their Hitman 2 maps when they buy Hitman 3.
Do you need those to play Hitman 3? I mean, you don't need them, obviously. But how do they affect Hitman 3?
So the way the new Hitman works, right, and the way that they've rebranded the Hitman series is like you buy the game once, and it's usually $19 for the game. And every week there's a new mission. And so it's really a way to get you keep coming back every week, right? And so what they've advertised is for Hitman 3, you will be able to play all the Hitman 2 missions, and they will directly correlate with the Hitman 3 missions as long as you own Hitman 2. But the issue is that now that Hitman 3 is going to be coming to Epic, they've already announced that Hitman 3 will not be able to import saves if you play it on Epic.
But is it an exclusive to Epic?
No, it's
then don't buy so it on that, Epic.
That's. But plenty of, but they Epic has said they're going to be offering at a discounted rate.
Yeah. It's up to you. I mean, it's up to the purchaser, right? I mean, whatever they want to do. They're not doing anything fucking devious. Again, they're just offering games, but they're not offering for you to be able to move things over. That costs the developers a lot more time and money to be able to, you know, store cloud saving on their end, when really that's more of the platform's job to do that, I feel like. What do you think, Bob?
I just feel the way that Bethesda did Doom, right? Because they said, if you buy Doom on Bethesda, or if you buy Doom on Steam, and you connect your account, it will appear and share the saves of both platforms.
That's not cheap, man. It's not cheap to set that up. You have to set up a whole... They have their own fucking launcher. That's super expensive. Most video game companies can't afford to do that. Yeah. And
I see what you're saying.
The other thing I was going to say about like the free games, I think there's a couple reasons why they do the free game things. One, they're trying to get their concurrent player base up at the same time. Two, hopefully you buy the DLCs, which is what I've been doing with Borderlands 3. Every time I finish a DLC, I buy a new one. And I did that because it was an Epic exclusive when I bought it. So I'm going to continue playing that on there. You can't really blame them. That's more on the developer side to fulfill you being able to jump between platforms. And that's expensive.
So to pick apart your comment on DLC, this now bridges into my next topic of Battlefield Gothic Armada 2. And it tends to be in Warhammer games, and as someone that appreciates the Warhammer universe in the last year can talk about, and as someone who's reading the Warhammer books, do you feel that the idea of the whole game is available, right? You can play the whole game naturally if you buy the game. However, if you want to play a certain race, you can pay $5 extra to play your Tau or your Necrons or whatever. Do you think that that's a good idea for DLC, or do you think that it should be piled in with everything else?
It really depends, man. It depends on a lot of things. I feel like the Warhammer series is kind of niche. I mean, they have a lot of fans, right? But they know that the fans are going to buy these DLCs. They sat down at a big table and all talked about every single way they could sell this game. Should we take all this? Go ahead.
But that's the thing, though. In this situation, right, Battlefield Gothic Armada is $39, and a AAA game is obviously $59.99, right?
Right.
But they said, if you want to play as Chaos, you pay $12, you can play as Chaos, right?
Right.
Do you think that more companies should be releasing games on PC at a lower than AAA price cost? And if you want a certain faction, for example, you can pay $5.99, $12.99, whatever you want to be able to play that faction.
It's a case-by-case basis. It absolutely is. It all depends on whether or not your game... And sometimes it totally doesn't work. Fucking Street Fighter came in was trying to sell you individual characters for $9.99, and it only came with the 10, and then the other 16 were $9.99 each. Ridiculous. Review bombed all the way down. It was also buggy. But that is not the way to do it, you know? Maybe a dollar or something. Like Mortal Kombat, they do it better. They every few months, three characters come out, and you could pay for the DLC or not. And, you know, it's like $10, and you get three characters. That's a lot of story. That's a lot of, like, moves. That's a lot. You could see the work that went into those three characters. And usually they're crazy ones. Like, Rambo just came out.
Yeah, I saw that. That actually looks really cool. He has the little tripwires and the punchy sticks and everything.
Oh, dude. Can we get some Rambo footage, dude? MK?
Dude, we got to get the Rambo footage where you army crawls and everything.
Yeah, dude, that's pretty sick. Like, because Rambo, if you think about it.
Oh, wait, did we watch this? I feel like we did watch this.
Maybe.
It was a while ago, right?
I put the RoboCop versus Terminator.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Maybe I played it for you.
I think so. It was a while ago.
His moves are trap-based, which is...
Okay, we had this whole conversation.
I'll be right back. I got to use the restroom.
I do remember this.
Okay. Well, you can't leave, Nick. You're the only... God damn it. All right, let's get into listener questions, I guess.
All right. Before we do, thank you so much to Clay Is Dazed subscribing for 11 months. All right. Almost a year.
Damn.
Very cool. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate it, guys. All right. Listener questions. You got a jingle for a sniper? No? Just the radar jingle.
Whoa, dude. Only one jingle an episode. Calm down, man. Come on.
All right.
God, I don't know the history of jingles, but I'm pretty sure they originate in Canada. First, seems like a Canadian thing, doesn't it?
Jingle?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Dude, all have right. you guys watched fucking those Archie, the live-action Archie comic shows?
No.
Okay, they're on Netflix, and they're kid-friendly or whatever, so they call, like, the cocaine Jingle Jangle. And it's a big meme, dude. It's like, oh, getting fucked up on the Jingle Jangle.
Ugh, that's so rough.
Jingle Jangle.
I really like this, too. Like, his end scene is he comes through a portal. I don't know. I don't know. I kind of like the character in MK more than I like any of the movies. You know what I mean? Although, the last movie was pretty fucking good. I liked it. Did you watch it, Bobby?
What was the last movie?
Rambo Last Blood.
No.
Like, it just came out. Like,
yeah. I heard that wasn't very good.
Fuck off, dude. He's interrogating this dude, and he fucking kind of, he pokes his upper chest, and you're like, what is he doing? And then he rips his collarbone out, dude. Like, he pulls it out of his chest, and he gets the information he wants, Bobby.
Wow.
Yep, definitely gets it. Definitely gets it. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw the, I've seen it's all on, the, I've literally seen every Rambo movie except that one.
Use your girlfriend's Prime Video, because it was a Prime exclusive, and it's still on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can just watch it on there.
There we go.
Yep.
All right. First question from JP Diddy. What are games from last year or prior that you want to play or revisit this coming year? For example, I would love to circle back to finish Doom Eternal and Portal 2 and also start Half-Life Alyx. We kind of talked about this a little bit in our last episode.
Yeah.
You know, games that we just didn't have time to play. But even looking back further than that, so not necessarily from 2020, but just games in general. I mean, obviously, I got to play Hades. That's got to happen. Although, you know what's funny is a lot of times when I try to play it, you're busy playing it on your account. Oh, so I can't. Dude,
that's crazy. My total games played this week's got to be 6 hours. Mm-hmm. It can't be more than that. But
it's just a matter of timing, I guess. Yeah. But definitely that. I would love to actually complete Doom 3, but who knows if that's going to happen.
I definitely want to play the newest Doom DLC. Was it Old Gods or whatever the fuck it's called, Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten about an hour into it, but it's really one of those situations where it's like, I haven't played the newest Doom in like 6 months, so all my abilities and everything, I don't understand what they do.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Dude, this is constantly the problem that I tell people. If you have not played Doom Eternal, definitely play it, but finish it without varying off too much, because you need to learn how to play it, and if you go play other stuff, you're going to forget how to play it, and you're going to come back and you're going to be like, fuck.
Yeah. The real question is, are any of us ever going to play Half-Life Alyx?
I will when I buy a VR headset for my birthday, because me and Lizzie's birthday are in May, and we're like, you know what, we're going to buy a fucking VR headset when it's May.
There you go. Well, you better go on Steam and get like the pre-order thing, because it takes a while for it to be available, if you're going to get the Index.
For me, it's going to be the for XCOM 2. And the subsequent DLC, which has higher scores than XCOM, I just can't get around to it. I don't know.
You know, Gears Tactics. That's a game I really should play.
Yeah,
that looks awesome.
That's on
both the same kind of game.
Game Pass.
Yeah. All right, next question from Warconius. Bethesda and Machine Games announced an Indiana Jones game. What do you think it'll be like? First person, young Indiana Jones, or maybe we play a short round, the Asian kid stereotype? Short round. Whatever happened to that kid?
It's going to be an open world adventure. It's going to be something like Lara Croft.
I think it's going to be like Uncharted.
Well, isn't Harrison Ford doing another movie? Like, they confirmed another Indiana Jones movie.
Bro, don't do my man's like that. Why is he doing another movie? Wasn't he supposed to pass it on to Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, but then Shia LaBeouf happened, so
yeah,
that didn't really.
He's going through some issues,
and nobody really cared for what was it, Crystal Skull? Yeah. Although I've really got to watch that again, see if it was really as bad, because everyone just kind of reacted poorly about the fridge and whatever. But anyway, I don't know, man. Like, usually what happens is whatever the game is, it's just like whatever. Whenever a game comes out about a movie, it's usually just what they're selling it based off the notoriety of the movie. So the game is just like a cookie cutter of whatever the popular genre happens to be, open world adventure. I'm sure there'll be like a card based combat system in it because that's real hot right now.
I really want to say that, like, we're past that, Bobby. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. This is going to be a joint effort. The game and the movie, they're going to feed off each other. It's going to be the... Yeah, but yeah.
That's kind of how it's always been, too. Like, ever since the early days of video games, you know, Atari and all. But I guess there's nothing, like, terrible about it. Still, you can get a decent game out of some of those.
Do we have a Star Wars question in here about what happened with Star Wars?
We got a question about LucasArts.
Yeah, I know, but no?
No.
I don't know. Okay, so let me bring it up now. So I guess EA's license for Star Wars has run out, and so other developers can now play make Star Wars games. And so who makes Assassin's Creed?
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft has announced a big open world Star Wars game.
Oh yeah, that leaked. Like, that wasn't, I heard that wasn't supposed to be announced.
Well, either way,
yeah.
If is the license out in the open for people to use? Well, bid on, I guess. I don't know how it works. EA said that, like, we plan on, like, getting the license back completely after this. The way that it was worded, their tweet was very like putting Ubisoft down. After this collab that they're doing, we'll be getting full license back. But yeah, I guess Ubisoft is. And you know, if somebody made an Assassin's Creed that just had a Star Wars veneer on it,
yeah,
I'm not going to complain. I really am not.
That's what happened with the newest Star Wars story game, The Force Awakens. What is it called? The one where it's kind of like a Dark Souls ripoff. It really is. Like, you die, you respawn, you repeat, you try again. It's very difficult. Are you talking about
Fallen Order?
Fallen Order. Okay. Yeah. I feel like that is a great game.
Yeah, it kind of is, but it's not like hard like Dark Souls is. But yeah, that was a good game. Yeah, man. Like, you could pretty much slap Star Wars on anything and I'd be interested in it. You know, they did that with... They basically made a Star Wars version of Age of Empires called Galactic Battlegrounds, and I enjoyed that game quite a bit. And if they remade that, I would totally play that. You know, like a turn-based tactics Star Wars. Like, there's so many things you could do right now that I'm just surprised they haven't. And it doesn't have to be like the huge, like some huge blockbuster game, because some of those, like, turn-based tactics, I feel like might be more of a PC thing than a console. And a lot of strategy games especially is way more of a PC thing. I feel like we've been missing out on some of the more PC specific type genres and games.
Absolutely.
With Star Wars, because they're trying to, EA is trying to, you know, appeal to a mass audience and sell like millions and millions of copies on consoles.
Yeah.
Do you remember Star Wars Dark Forces?
Oh yeah, I've heard of that game.
It was like the PC game to revolutionize the PC gaming in 1995. And
you
that
weren't
was
setting me up for a joke here. I thought you...
No, dude, he plays it. It's his favorite game of all time, dude.
It's all time. It's my favorite game. So to answer Warconia's, well, not who, was it Diddy that answered the question?
I just brought it up. I just brought it up.
Oh, yeah. The Warconia's favorite LucasArts game.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, we're not at that question yet.
I had to bring it up. This is pretty fucking big.
Mm-hmm.
I wish this is not going to happen, but I just wish that they did what Warhammer 40K did and just throw it out there. Like, fucking take it. And just
give everybody the IP.
Yes, everybody takes the IP. And of those 100 games, there's going to be like 7 fucking killer ones. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing.
I think that's good.
That's not what's happening. There's some sort of like, they're breaking away from EA for some collabs, and then they're going back to EA, apparently.
Yeah. Maybe we should just bring back the news section too, man.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Maven Star. What's your favorite gaming marketing campaign? Mine was a magazine ad for Rayman where he was standing at a urinal.
I saw it. I saw this picture.
Okay. Oh, there's a screenshot there. No arms, no legs, huge features. And it's a bunch of guys looking down at what we would assume would be Rayman's
cock.
Okay.
Dong.
Dong. Rayman has a schlong. That's what I would say. Yes.
I think to answer this question, mine would have to be the Game Boy SD marketing campaign where it was like, have marital troubles or have dating problems, play Game Boy SD. And it's like a guy hugging a girl and he's playing a Game Boy behind her back. And it's like the Game Boy that flipped. It was like a little square, kind of like a compact.
Yeah.
That was my favorite campaign.
Never seen that. Weird.
Gosh. What?
I feel like there were a lot of good ones in the 90s. I like the old 90s Sega commercials, because first of all, in the 90s, like, you had Nintendo, and then Sega came out with Sonic, and their whole thing was like to the extreme, like, Nintendo's for your mom. Like, Sega was supposed to be like the cool hip thing, you know, for like for the cool 90s kids, right? So at the end of the commercials, they would always have like, it was actually pretty well edited and made, but they'd have like something going on, and then always end by someone yelling Sega, like Sega, you know, like really loud. Yeah.
Sega.
Yeah, man, those commercials were great.
Oh, nice.
Okay, Nick, we're seeing the one Nick was talking about.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about.
I can't think of one.
There's a specific commercial I remember, and again, this has got to be from the 90s, but it starts off like a fabric. Like, you remember Snuggle, the fabric softener bear? Okay, it starts off like something like that, and then like a tank or something comes in and like runs them over or something. And it's just, and then it's just like whatever the name of the game is, like comes up, but it starts off, you know, like first, like, and you totally think it's going to be a fabric softener commercial, cause it's like a little bear and it's just like laundry and he's like, ooh, super soft. And then boom, this tank comes in. If you look up like Snuggle Bear, video game commercial, I'm sure it'll come up. Yeah,
that sounds awesome. I can't believe I can't think of anything, dude. I know there's been things out there that were here we go. The Wizard, the video game movie.
Oh, here's the commercial.
What is this, dude?
Okay, play it back with sound. Let's get some sound on this. Let's play it back. No, all the way to the beginning. You gotta go to the beginning.
Go to the beginning.
Do you remember the guy?
Go to the beginning. Battle Tanks for Nintendo 64. You got to go to the beginning because then it's like that's the.
He can't hear us. The game looks like shit too.
Oh yeah, this has got to be the 90s. So it's Battle Tanks with an X. With an X. Battle Tanks with an X.
Oh man.
So 90s, dude. Oh, I love it.
That's good.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, for me, it would be The Wizard. What is it? Fred Savage.
The movie? Yeah, the movie The Wizard.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super Mario 3. I believe that's how it was announced through that movie. I want to say.
It was like some big tie-in.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was a thing until
The game hadn't come out by then, so that was the first time anyone really even saw
any of it.
Yeah, like saw any of the gameplay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that movie is wild. I watched it not too long ago. There's a very young Toby, what's his name?
Maguire?
Is that it? The kid from Spider-Man.
Toby Maguire.
Very young Toby Maguire in that movie. Not a speaking part, but just kind of in the background.
The kid from Spider-Man. You mean Spider-Man. He is Spider-Man.
The original Spider-Man for PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Well, do you know about the new one? They're bringing back all the old actors. So they're bringing back Tobey Maguire, the guy from Fox that nobody cared about in the middle, and the current kid. They're all going to be in the
Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're basically copying the cartoon version. You watched it, right, Bobby?
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The announcer at the end scene of The Wizard 2 is the best, man. He reminds me of, well, nobody knows this guy, but he reminds me of this guy I know named Chuck. He's just like super over the top into it and just a little too over the top.
Look at that set, dude. That set is fucking dope.
Yeah.
Dude, we got to get one of those sets when I visit.
Beau Bridges was in this movie. Christian Slater was in this movie.
Nick, do you know you do a lot of like Stevie Wonder moves with your neck?
It's because I'm muting myself and I'm trying to like constantly try not to breathe in the mic and stuff like
that. Gotcha.
Like I got my mute on numpad dash or my
No. Button. Put it on your mouse button or you're fine.
I got it on my mouse button, bro.
Okay, next question from there it is. That guy is just too much. Okay, next question from Warconius. What's your favorite LucasArts game that is not Dark Forces? Wow, really put me into a box there, Warconius. I mean, he says Dark Forces, so I could say Dark Forces 2.
Yeah, dude, you can say that.
But if I didn't have to pick anything from Dark Forces, I don't know. LucasArts actually, I think they've made a lot more games than you realize because they didn't stop making games until I think the late 2000s. And there's a lot of stuff on console that we probably didn't play because we play PC. But I got to go with one of the point and click adventures, one of the classic ones, either Day of the Tentacle or Full Throttle. Like Day of the Tentacle has more like meaning to me. It's like a little more nostalgic, but I do think like Full Throttle was like the pinnacle of LucasArts point and click adventure.
Never played either one.
Did you realize that Angry Birds Star Wars 2 is a LucasArts game?
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. Like there's a lot of stuff you don't realize.
I'll go with that because I can't think of one that really Star Wars Galaxies, was that a LucasArts game?
Was it?
I feel like it was.
Yeah, that was a Sony Online Entertainment LucasArts game.
Sure, I'll go out good with that. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time camping out. Wait, with
you
my
played wiki. Star Wars Galaxies?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, Star Wars Galaxies is a LucasArts game, correct.
I had a Wookiee sniper swordsman.
I feel like a Wookiee wouldn't be a sniper.
We've never talked about this. It's like my favorite game of all time. I'm so glad you played it.
Yeah. My idea was that I could snipe something, do a lot of damage, hide until it got close, and then cut it down. That's what I worked on.
And I'll be hairy at the same time, like in real life.
Yeah.
Can you make a good Wookiee noise just for everyone?
No, I wish I could, man. I can do a lot of sound effects, but I can't do that one. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how
kind of, I mean, Chewbacca makes a lot of noises. Chewbacca.
Especially when you fuck him.
Yikes.
Too much.
All right, next question from Jaeger. A question for Bobby. Since you're a big fan of Killing Floor 2 and Deep Rock Galactic, are there any co-op games that are already released or are in active development that you see yourself getting stuck into in the future?
Like, those are the ones.
Yeah, right? Dude, those are the ones, honestly, man. Like, if you... Killing Floor 2 was on sale for like $10 a little while ago, and I was telling everybody to get it because it's just like... There's always going to be people on the server playing that. You always have people to play with.
We got into Wizardry for a little while. Wizardry? No.
GTFO, man. That's my answer.
The Wizard one. Wizard.
Magicka?
Magicka, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't really get into that one because they had like the second one that I think was like free to play and had some sort of
it
like.
It wasn't that good. It ruined it.
Yeah. But you know what game I really want to go back to is Pulsar Lost Colony. I feel like that got cut short a little bit, dude. That is a.
Wow, dude. I've been having cravings, actual cravings.
Yeah, dude. What was the shit?
God, when Emilio named the laser the big red lipstick, I lost it. That was fucking.
Yeah, dude, that game is amazing. It's like $25. It's not like super cheap, and it's not very well known either. It is such a hidden gem, in my opinion.
We could probably easily get those Have you tried reaching out to them, Chris?
It's only like one or two guys. It's an extremely small.
Oh, I did try reaching out. I did try reaching out, but they only take questions on their forum, and I never checked if they got back to me. So I made a post, but
yeah, Leafy Games. They're pretty notorious for not being very communicative because it's a very small team, but they've done amazing work with this game. This is such a fun, awesome game, especially if you've got a group of people. You're basically playing Star Trek. You are playing Star Trek in this.
With a group of four.
Yeah.
They kind of condense everything.
Well, no, you can get up to five people on a team, and everyone has their role. You're the engineer, you're the pilot, or you're science officer, or communications, or gunner. So, yeah, it's a fantastic game. Really want to go back to this. Scroll down. What's the price on this? I want to get an exact price. U.S., American dollar, $25. Yeah, okay. So, not super cheap. But the other game that I've really been wanting to get into is Sea of Thieves, and I played a little bit of it, like, I don't know, a while ago, but like when it first came out, but it just seems like the perfect game for me because it's not like a super intense game. Like GTFO is a great game, but it's like, you know, you gotta put on your serious hat, yeah. You know, you gotta get focused for that game.
But it's not hard, guys. You gotta get serious. And put serious
you just gotta on. Try, man. You gotta try. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like a lot of people.
Margin for error, not a lot of margin for error.
Yeah.
If you play Sea of Thieves, Bobby, let me know. I'll reinstall it and yeah, we'll no, start playing the hurdy-gurdy and dancing around.
Everybody plays Sea of Thieves. Everybody like likes it. It's always that game where it's like if one or more people or if like two or more people are just like, oh yeah, let's play that, then it's just like it's a thing, you know. So,
Bobby, I told you that they reinstated their $1 for 3 month thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going on right now.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I might pick that up.
Well, yeah, that and Hades, you mm-hmm. know.
Oh, Hades is on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Gears Tactics. There's a ton of stuff on there. Yeah. But until it gets to the point where I'm actually like, yep, ready to install, let's play it, then I'll do that.
Right, right.
But yeah, Sea of Thieves is something that I really enjoyed it when I first played it when it first came out, and I'm sure there's so much more that has changed and has been added, but it seems like the right level of just like casual, but also something to do.
Hangoutitude. There's a certain amount of...
Yeah.
Hangout activity. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to call it.
So. Yeah. What happens, I've noticed, is like when I play Killing Floor 2 with people, you know, we'll be playing and we'll also be talking, just like conversing about whatever. And someone will be trying to talk or I'll be trying to talk and then like shit's going down. Yeah. So you're a little distracted. So you're like, you start like you can't really speak too well and like you get kind of stumbled up. So
that happens less in this game because there's so much downtime in between things happening.
Yeah, not a problem in Sea of Thieves. No. But yeah, man, like I don't know, dude, these co-op games, I absolutely love them, and if I didn't do the podcast, I swear all I would do is just play Deep Rock, Killing Floor 2, like GTFO. Like I just have like Team Fortress 2. I'd have like a stable of games that I would just play.
What's next?
All right. Next question is, Jaeger's got another one here. Last question. If you had to adapt a video game into a movie or TV series, what game would it be? And who would you have direct and what actors would play the main roles? Wow. Okay.
Half-Life by J.J. Abrams. Perfect.
Oh, God.
That is a perfect coupling, dude.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
Do you like vanilla yogurt? Is that your favorite flavor?
Just something maybe with some chocolate syrup.
Pureed, bland.
Ooh. What about Warhammer 40K by fucking Danny Boyle?
Bro. You want Warhammer 40K, you get Guillermo del Toro, okay, to direct a Tyranid movie.
He's already thought about this.
You got a good horror movie.
That would be pretty interesting.
That would be good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, he does some really great work with like effects and stuff. Sometimes I think like, what if there was talk of Tarantino directing a Star Trek movie, like some rumors around Hollywood, right? But I always wonder, like, what if you took someone like him and made a Star Wars movie or a Star Trek or something like some big IP like that? Like, what would that look like? Like something we've just
you get Mace Windu saying motherfucker.
What? Yeah, probably.
I mean, they put Favreau with Star Wars, and we got something fucking super excellent. So that's good.
I'm going to say...
Favreau's another one of those crowd pleasers. Like, I like him a lot more than J.J. Abrams, but he makes things that are palatable for everybody, especially kids and, like, every high-grossing demographic.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's That's what I like.
I don't know, man. You got an opportunity here to make something really unique and interesting, not just the same shit we get all the time.
I definitely say for this, I want a Band of Brothers-esque miniseries involving David Hayter to play Solid Snake for Metal Gear Solid 3. That's my ultimate, like, hey, if you can fund a movie, what would it be? Or miniseries.
Okay.
Hayter, really... not Hayter.
Okay.
The guy who voiced Snake. Hayter, H-A-Y-D-E-R. There's Sniper.
Oh, God. There's a Japanese director. He makes wild, crazy movies. He actually, he directed the Phoenix Wright movie, which... Okay. You've probably never seen that. It's weird. He's the director of Audition, very famous horror movie, early 2000s. No, God, what the hell is his name? Japanese director. He's known for just going over the top with blood and guts, like slicing arms off, blood spouting out, stuff like that. I feel like he would fit really well. Takashi Miike, thank you. Yes, can't believe I forgot that. He's got
Wow, that's actually a really good Google right there by Sniper.
Yeah, Japanese director, over the top, blood and guts. Yeah, I mean, that's your guy right there, Takashi Miike. And this guy's done, like, everything, too. He does these wild, weird, crazy movies, but he also, like, shoots commercials and pop videos and things like that. So he's got, like, an incredible range. But he did the movie Phoenix Wright, which... If you're a fan of that game, you should check it out. Like, and it's just kind of interesting. I wonder anyway.
If she knows about it.
It's not like super well known, but
yeah,
maybe. Like, if you look at it, like Sniper, I don't know if you can just bring up like screenshots or a clip of it, but it's pretty weird, man. The Phoenix Wright movie by Takashi Miike. But I don't know, man. Like, his style, I think, translates very well into video games. So I'm going to go with him, crazy Japanese director.
Dude, he's got a great-ass haircut, though. I like that shit.
I don't know. Any game, man.
Doom?
Yeah, maybe Doom. There hasn't... Yeah, we need another Doom movie, like a good one.
I really Without The Rock?
No, I mean, I like that one. That had Carl Urban in it. They had a good fight scene at the end.
Wasn't it first person for the last, like, 10 minutes? Yeah,
that was, like, the whole... The big I keep wanting to say money shot, but I'm trying to think of a better word than that. But yeah, that was the money shot of that movie, was the first person perspective with Carl Urban. But that fight scene is actually pretty well choreographed. I mean, it's The Rock, you know, they got to do a fight scene. The Rock says fuck like 5 times in that movie too. I remember when I was doing my review, I actually like clipped all those and I was going to put it at the end, and then I decided not to. And now I kind of wish I did.
I saw this little Rock thing that, so he played, I forget the character's name, but he plays the big Samoan dude in Moana, right? You know, the guy that looks like a mountain.
Yeah.
And so he's watching it with his daughter, and he's like, did you know that I'm the voice? Like, that's me. And he starts singing the song as the guy singing the song, and his daughter told him to stop it because he's ruining the movie. I don't know how old she is, but that's funny.
Yeah, it's...
His name is Maui.
Maui, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, Moana, and he, like, sings a bunch of other shit.
You're welcome.
And she's like, he's like, how would you feel if I sang the song? She's like, no, sit down, old man. I'm watching Moana.
Yeah. All right, next question from, which one are we on? Okay, next question from Mavenstar. If you could mix and match mechanics from three games to make your perfect gaming experience, what would you choose? Obviously, card-based combat.
Oh boy.
I don't know. Tactical turn-based,
roguelike, and then that last one, a mechanic. Character building? Or like that whole generational thing, like your traits get passed down. I guess that's part
of the roguelike. Really specific thing to request.
I think with mechanic, I think he's really asking, like, if you can imply an IP, mechanics, and other inspiration from other games, what would you choose?
You're saying, dude. He's saying mechanics.
I don't know. I'm reading that differently.
Fuck. Yeah. Fuck.
I don't know, man. I'd say we just go with like the, I feel like this is what developers do all the time. Yeah. They're just like, what are the three, what are the most popular things right now? Card-based, so hot right now. Roguelike, so hot right now. Turn-based tactics.
Yeah.
And there you go, dude. You got a triplet. You got a bestseller right there.
Yeah.
Bafo, Sako, Lenny.
Done. Done deal.
We did it.
My answer would be like Metal Gear Solid sneaking like mechanics, Escape from Tarkov shooting, and then like The Last of Us 2 storytelling. Like that's what would make a perfect game for me.
Okay.
All right. None of those are mechanics, but okay.
Those are all what are you talking about? Those are not mechanics.
Storytelling? Like, I don't.
That's a
storytelling
mechanic.
Like The Last of Us
2. That's a mechanic.
That's how they. And this always used to bug me so much. Like, I'm not as annoyed by it now anymore because I just don't care. But, like, when they try to market a game, they're just like, it's like TF2 meets. Or, you know, they'll say, like, it's like. Insert popular title here meets insert other popular title here.
I never faulted them for that because whenever you come up with something new, you have to.
Well, it does its job. It really sells a game because people are just like, oh, that's a great idea. I love both those things. And then you play the game. You're like, this is nothing like it was advertised. This totally sucks. But they got your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Warconius. What would be your calling card if you were a serial killer or would you have a special way to off your victim?
I'd kill them normal, but then I'd come on them.
Leaving DNA right there at the scene.
Yeah. Fucking, wow, I live dangerously.
I
kill dangerously.
Yeah, that's like what every murderer does, though.
Yeah, but
every CSI episode is like, we got him shot in the head. He's shot from this direction, but there happens to be semen in the door crack.
even your killing blow is vanilla ice cream. Man, can't with it.
I'll put a Super Mario finishing level flag in the bullet wound, like dun 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 da da.
There you go.
It's better.
I'm trying to think of what I watched Seven again recently, and what did he leave at the sites? I don't know if it was different at each one, but I feel like he had like a calling card in that one. I'm trying to remember.
What's in the box comes up once a month, at least.
What's in the box? You know what's weird? When I watched it, I'm like, oh, he only says it once. I thought it was like a whole thing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He says it once.
No, he just...
Oh.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he does say it more than once, right? But the weird way where everybody imitates it, like, what's in the box? Like, he only does that one time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little more.
What's in the box?
Yeah. What was in that box? They never show you. They never show you, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for this answer. I'm only going to kill people with peanut allergies by rubbing peanuts on them.
Oof. I like it.
And then. My signature, calling card will be my Chipotle order. And that's it. You got to figure it out via Chipotle order.
Chipotle order? They got to go.
Like, I want hot sauce, carnitas, double rice, pinto beans, corn salsa. You got to figure it out that way.
You had me until the calling card, dude. I think
I could see that. Like, I could see that in a CSI episode. Like, they find that receipt. Next, they have, like, you know, they got the little 2:35 p.m. local Chipotle, and they're over there and they're talking to, do you remember who ordered this? And they're like, oh, yeah, you don't forget an order like that.
That'd be perfect.
I thought you were going to go with a Mr. Peanut thing, dude. You leave one of his accessories. One time it's a monocle, another time it's a cane, the other time it's a top hat. They're like, Mr. Peanut. Mr. Peanut's out for vengeance.
We got to get rid of the people with peanut allergies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Yikes. All right, last question. We kind of already talked about this. What do you think of WandaVision? Seems to me Marvel is not afraid of really stretching things creatively.
So Sam walks in and she's like, what are you watching? And I was like, see how long it takes you to take. Figure out who these two characters are. Then she got it within like 5 minutes, and then she's like, this is strange. And then I was just thinking, Marvel has had a comic book called What If forever. I mean, we're talking about like since maybe the 70s. They had What If, which were like alternate universe, non-canon, before any of those words existed. What If.
Just to give them complete freedom to do whatever.
What If Wolverine.
Wasn't there one with this wasn't Marvel, but like there was one where like Superman was actually like from Russia or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a Russian counterpart that Captain America had once or whatever. But all that stuff gets done.
He's got the hammer with WandaVision, like the What If series is coming out. It's like, what if the love interest of Captain America becomes becomes Captain America, and then you have Captain Britain. But with WandaVision, I really like think a it is guy sort gag. Of a
Captain UK.
Captain UK. I really think that WandaVision is sort of like a Twilight Zone meets storytelling through the Marvel Universe. They've already said that WandaVision is the bridge between Wanda's current timeline and the new Doctor Strange movie.
Here's my theory. In the comics, Wanda goes into coma, and she's fucking, like, as far as top tier powers, she's one of the top. She's in the top, like, 1%.
She's in the top 3. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's super high up there. So when she was in a coma, she was dreaming. And when she was dreaming, she dreamt something, and half of the mutants disappeared. Or died.
No. So as somebody that watches and studies this extensively, that is known as no more mutants. And Wanda is so strong that she commands in all of the universes that ever exist that there will be no more mutants. So no more mutants in the X-Men world. And all the universes will ever be born again.
Yeah. So I think that's what's going on. I think she's asleep and she's dreaming crazy shit. Because in the movies, Vision's dead. And so for her to be with Vision again, she's probably like making it up in her head. So I think that's what's going on. And maybe she's going to... Because what's going on with the Marvel Universe is they're going into Phase 5, whatever that means. And
you're talking to the wrong guy. Phase 5 is when we start introducing the Eternals and the Ethereals and a bunch of crazy shit as Kumail Nanjiani becomes, literally God.
But mostly they're bringing in the X-Men. They're introducing the X-Men into...
And the Fantastic Four.
And the Fantastic Four into the current MCU. So... I'm guessing that they're using her as a channel to bring all those characters in. I'm guessing.
But correct.
I haven't read shit about any of that. I'm just guessing from what I've seen.
And Deadpool has been confirmed by Kevin Feige as in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the next Deadpool film will be rated R, will be associated with the X-Men and current Marvel superheroes, and will be directly tied into the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4 or Phase 5. Sorry.
Yeah. I feel like they're going a little too hard. I mean, they announced like 20 things, but whatever.
Well, announcing stuff is free. That's the Blizzard strat. Just announce it all.
Yeah.
Deliver later, years later.
Yep.
Well, all I gotta say is my favorite character, unfortunately passed away. That's Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., real life Iron Man.
But he died.
He died.
Have you seen him, Bobby?
Not in the real life, but I'm talking about the movies. He's not coming back. He's never coming back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's superhero movies, so
Well, they just confirmed Chris Evans as Captain America again.
Mm. Bobby, I wish you would watch them all in a row. I mean, you watch so many movies. Yeah, why not watch?
There is a watch guide for how to watch them in a consecutive order amongst the timeline that they exist in real life versus when they came out.
Yeah. Maybe that is quite an undertaking, though.
Dude. Again, 13 Jason movies or whatever, 11.
Those movies are like 80 minutes long.
Jason versus Jason X in space. No. Well, you're wasting your brain time.
That was the worst one by the time. But literally, dude, those movies are like 84 minutes long a piece. Mm. They're super short. These are like at least two hours a piece.
The big ones are 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. 2.5.
But they're good, though.
They're really
good. Well, I've seen most of them. We went through all of them one episode, and I told you all the ones that I had watched and hadn't watched. And I haven't watched them
in a row, dude. They all link together. It was a huge undertaking. It's never been done in filmmaking ever. Different directors all coming together to tell one story over 14 years. It's fucking amazing.
Well, let's tell
one. The Russo brothers connecting it all is arguably one of the greatest cinematic things that's ever existed.
Yeah, guaranteed.
I think it's fucking overrated, dude.
Oh, fuck you, Sniper. Go back to Canada.
Yeah, well, guys, if you
get the fuck out.
You're crazy. You don't like it because they don't got Captain Canada, all right? We got Captain America.
When you like something because of other stuff, it's difficult. Dude, like it's difficult. It's like, oh, this is really good, but you've got to watch this, this, and this first. Like, no, then it's like
I'm saying it's all good all together.
Yeah, except for the Incredible Hulk 2 with whatever the fuck. I don't
know,
man,
a lot of times they're telling the same story over and over again. You know, it's
one through line.
I've got a super power. No, I'm not talking about the actual things that happen, the superficial level. I'm talking about like the emotionality of the movie. I'm talking about like the themes and stuff. It's like it's always a superhero. You know, they discover their superpowers. They get a little carried away with it, and they're like, oh, I got to look inward. You know, the real enemy that I got to overcome is me, you know, self-reflection. No. Da, 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 da. Then they realize that, then they can turn around and they beat the bad guy at the end.
It's 14 movies.
Have you seen Thor Ragnarok?
Yes, I've seen Thor Ragnarok.
That's probably his favorite one out of all of them.
Right? No, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is probably my favorite one. But then again, it's
Have you heard about Guardians of the Galaxy 3/Thor 3? Which is both of them combined, making for the ultimate comedic / superhero movie ever.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, man. Like, I'm sure it'll all be great. I'm sure I'm going to watch it, but it's just like, I don't know, man. I'm old. I watch like movies about sad lesbians now, like French films.
please watch them in a row, Bobby. I'm not asking for much. I bet you're looking for movies to watch a lot of the time.
No. Dude, I've got two or three watch lists. I've got my watch list that is on Letterboxd. That's like my official one. And I've got another list on my phone when I can't like get to anything and I remember a movie I got to watch and I write it down real quick. And then I got another watch list that I store on my computer for like that's a whole other reason or something. But anyway, yeah, dude, like if you look at my watch list on Letterboxd, it's always growing. Like I'm trying to like knock stuff off, but then I keep adding more than I actually like get rid of. So
speaking of movies, what's our next movie on the DL? Do we have it?
That's true. We've got a watch.
When is it? 2 weeks from now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this month, so it's got to be soon.
Yeah.
God, Saint Maud. Why can't I find that movie? That's a British movie. I don't know if it has any U.S. release. I cannot find it anywhere. But yeah, we've got to figure out what our next movie is, and we really got to incorporate a way where we can involve the community with that, like some sort of voting system or something.
Yeah.
But when we do figure it out, we'll announce it on Discord so everyone can watch it as well.
How long was this? It was fucking 2.5 hours, man.
Yeah, we got to wrap it up.
This is a long one.
Yeah, dude, we're like a Marvel movie.
All right.
What's everyone playing next week?
Right now, I'm thinking about playing Hades. I want to get into the end game more. Okay. I know I've been playing the same game for fucking 2 months, but fuck, that's what I want to play right now. I also bought Wreckfest. Wreckfest, not breakfast.
Yeah.
Just because of the reviews, and I thought it was multiplayer. Ended up being single player. I bought it. It's there. It's an older game. Really good reviews. I want to check it out.
All right.
I'm currently playing Rust. I'm a server admin hosting different events. If you guys ever want to get back into it, the game has changed a lot. I'm currently a sheriff dressed up as a assless chapped sheriff. That's what I'm going to be playing this coming week.
Interesting.
All right. I'm not sure what I'm going to get into. I got to play something other than the same games I've been playing. Hopefully GTFO tomorrow night on Monday. But other than that, I'm going to try to pick up something new and fresh to bring to the podcast. I really have wanted to play a point and click adventure. It's been a long time since I've played one. And, I don't know. I've kind of been afraid of the time commitment, but maybe I'll pick up one of those. There's a lot of good ones out there. Oh, you know what? I just remembered it. While playing games with some people on our Discord, someone had mentioned, Sid Meier's, Pirates. I thought that game came out in the 90s. Apparently, it was 2005 that game came out. I was looking at the Steam page. I'm like, man, this game looks really good. Like, it looks like it has all the things that I would love. And the graphics are, like, a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, they're 2005 graphics. They're not spectacular. So I may get into this week. Look forward to that.
But that's a point and click adventure or no?
No, it's not. It's more of a strategy game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, speaking for Bobby, Nick, Sniper and myself. I don't know. Pirate tits? Are the lady pirates? Fuck yeah.
Oof. Oh, boy.
They're like regular tits, but one has an eye patch on.
Yep.
Nope.
Mil, have you ever heard of torpedo tits?
Yeah, I have.
Where nipples point upwards?
Yep.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff.
Only the best.